Blog Talk Radio.
I ain't fucking crazy.
Here we go.
The saga begins, my eyes is a photography lens. Properly push pens and show quality gem. The harvest be grim, but yo, maybe tomorrow we win. If we follow the trends and keep count of the dollars we spend. I want a mahogany bin, I want lottery in. I want property friends, plus my hobby is skins. If I get sloppy and sin, then my prophecy ends. But the guard will begin, watching my odyssey spin. In a place where war be, based on a true story. Territory was made for me to pursue glory. Blast alone, mass in the zones have to be sown. Every capacity blown, I'm internationally known. Yo, so all hail the honorable, microphone phenomenal. Persona is invulnerable, trust me son. I continue like a saga do, bringing you the drama to allow you that the chronicle was just gun.
The saga begins. Rock him, set it all. Yep, yo. The saga begins.
Still pay a rhyme after the next one.
The saga begins. Rock him, set it all. Yep, yo. The saga begins.
My never-ending epic got the world spinning hectic. I quickly spread it till the whole city's infected. Suspended, I supply, intensify. Then commences my daily events go by. You get involved in it. Paragraphologist, narrating novelist, marketist, sound marvelous. I'm the star in this, which means the author's authentic. Most definite, every episode's an epidemic. So when you research, check it. Here go the evidence. They represent with lyrical negligence for presidents. My signs existed without the fixing. Every inscription is a special edition. So all hail the honorable, microphone phenomenal. Persona is invulnerable, trust me son. I continue like a saga do, bringing you the drama to allow you that the chronicle was just begun.
The saga begins. Rock him, set it all. Yep, yo. The saga begins.
Still pay a rhyme after the next one.
The saga begins. Rock him, set it all. The saga begins.
Yo,
the legacy lives, let them see what the pedigree is. Mega thesis, blessing these kids, whatever the features. The depth is deepest, the deepest sea is. Telepathy increases, melody to speakers. Telekinesis, ideas appear as clearest. Pictures and movie theaters, lyrics you hear is devastating the way your ear is. So stay tuned for sequels, part twos and more. So soon you and your people from bug rush to soar. The names have changed, the game remain the same. I one came to reign on his claim to fame. No stopping this, I'm dropping this with hip hop. And when the topic is topicless, then I'm writing the apocalypse. So all hail the honorable, microphone phenomenal. Persona is invulnerable, trust me son. I continue like a saga do, bringing you the drama to allow you that the chronicle is just gun.
The saga begins. Rock him, set it all.
Yep, yo.
The saga begins.
Still say a rhyme after the next one.
The saga begins. Rock him, set it all.
Yo.
The saga begins.
You know that I'm the solo with.
Rock him, set it all. Rock him, set it all. Rock him, set it all.
And you know that I'm the solo with.
Rock him, set it all. Rock him, set it all. Rock him, set it all.
Yo. And you know that I'm the solo with.
Rock him.
I thought I told you that we won't stop. I rock the party that rocks your body. I rock the party that rocks your body. Let's go.
Body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock
to lean, I'm more in. So what you got to say? I hope you're bubbling it, baby. Now bubbling it my way, let it rain. Ain't no sort up in the game. Still want you to stay. Ain't a thing changed. Instead of knocking boots, we be kicking down Gore-Tex. Except it ain't raw sex. Roughneck, throw your hands in the air. Let me hear you say, oh yeah. Trust you, me, I blow up shop. About to blow the roof right off of hip-hop. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body.
I'm the MISSS, your best best from VAA, and I be all day. Puff Daddy be my pal when I eat.
Yeah.
I took your number one spot, I jump, skip, then I hop. I'm so hot, so you can't forget me. Not to the yes, yes, y'all. I'ma take a pause, cause I be feeling myself like I was T-Ball. Pop Daddy make a... The L-Y-T to the E make them scream. And I'ma show enough be the boss on this team. So all you MCs, how Mr. makes you green.
I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. That's me, complicated rap star, meet like the MC. You see, I'm on to your baby and your mechanism. How you hit it when you're in it so hot, you keep it sizzling, the ooh-ah, she ooh, and all of that too. Keep me in the waters of Kalamazoo. Who you come here with, where your posse at? I leave the boys alone, tell her you won't be back. I got the cheese, baby, my cheddar's better. I got that milk, so that I'm a redder. Trust you, me, I'll blow up shop. A little nick calling the cops, watch. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body, body, body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body.
Twin's name was Ebony. I said my name is Ra, and this is Eric B. Since the music was loud, I said let's take a walk so we could talk and see New York. Showtime didn't start until 1 o'clock, but once I entered your mind, I wouldn't wanna stop. Caress your thoughts till we were thinking the same. Calm your nerves, massage your brain. Each moment's a mineral, poetry, protein, versus a vitamin, effects like codeine. Then tell me how you feel when I reveal a pill that'll heal your pain. Cause I'm real, she must have OD'd cause she couldn't resist. She spoke slowly when she told me this. She said, over me, I'm going crazy. She rubbed me on my chest and called me Mr. Sexy. She said she want my kids and help me make my next G. Tell me I ain't finesse mahogany. So I prescribed us something to a vibe with surprises. She's liver and much more wiser from the light I shine when the brain cells spark constantly so she can glow in the dark. Then soon you can represent the moon as long as I keep you in tune. I'll tell you who you are and why you're here. Take it in stride cause it might take a year. It's funny how time flies when you're having fun. We got close and it was almost one. She kissed me slow but you know how far a kiss can go. Fuck around and miss the show. So I told her to hold that thought real tight. We could finish what we left off later on tonight. Back to the scene of the crime on time as they introduced the fiend of a rhyme. She stood in the crowd with a bird's eye view of me, thinking of later on of what she could do to me. The back of the room, I could see her eyes gloom, patient but hoping that the show was over soon. As the place was ripped in half, she made her way to the front row. So I said, let's go. I packed my mic as they screamed for an encore. The speakers was blown, plus my mic was sore. Besides, I got places to go, ladies to see. And she could tell me how crazy she was over me. We drove off, she said she liked the way that I performed and couldn't wait to get soft and warm. I said I was watching you, watching me. Looks I received made it hard to MC. I could take a hit, so I knew that she wanted my agony, agony, agony in her body. Showed her some sights, then I took her to the condo. She was piping hot, but I kept my calm. So she asked how come I don't smile. I said everything's fine, but I'm in a new York state of mind. As we reached the kingdom, she said bring some champagne. She'll entertain then sing some sentimental songs real gentle. It hit the spot and you know where it went to. As we embraced I felt the heart pumping. I knew she was in the mood for something, so I laid on my back and relaxed. It wasn't a perillon that made her collapse over me. She was going crazy. She rubbed me on my chest and called me Mr. Sexy. She said she want my kids and help me make my next G. Tell me I ain't finesse mahogany.
Slickness, behold the style, look at this. And yes, yes, y'all.
And you do style.
I might check. gotta check y'all. I might check y'all. A GQ cover twice, this brother's nice. Vanity Fair, you saw me there, I discovered life. Outside of rap, got the cream and all that, but kinda left a void in me. You can't keep running in and out of my life. Said my mic, I pump your radio, you can record as they place my welcome mat at the Music Awards. Coming to America, tinted in high beams, rose petals at my feet like I'm Prince Ikeem. So to all you play your haters while y'all saying y'all rhyme, please stop saying Jada, cause that name's mine. I rock the Finley Faye with the diving wave, just y'all and I'm bald like Isaac Hayes. Bad eyes will graze, back pain or bad legs, I'ma get better with age. What? Yes, yes, y'all. I might check y'all.
Up in the cut, on deck, and here I am. Or should I say, here we are, because you just joined me. 646-595-3402. And I'm going to have to go in and connect to correct the number, because it looks like I put the wrong number up tonight. I must be losing my mind. Classic hip-hop, R&B and jazz, lively relationship talk, general subjects, and, you know what I'm saying, more of what's on your mind. What you doing? I don't know what I was doing, but I must have been feeling it. So I'm going to go in there right now and change this up, save this here, and then run back and see if I can correct what I just messed up. Can't believe I did that, folks. You know what I'm saying? All in a hurry to try to get online and try to get the show to y'all the way that y'all want to see it. So let me go back in here and see if I can't just space that mess and do the right thing. You know what I'm saying about what's going on here? 3042. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. There it is. 3402. Bam. There's the right number. I just put it in. I don't believe I did that. You know what I'm saying? I can't believe it. I know y'all can't believe it. But you know what? It's all love. I do these things just for y'all. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to continue to work on that little technical difficulty. As I put a little something smooth on you with Gerald LaVert, same time, same place, while I get my act together.
I don't want to be alone. Yo, I'll be there. Same place, same time.
We're keeping it a secret. I don't wanna be alone. No, 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 no more, no more. Leave it, oh babe. I don't wanna be alone.
I can't stand
anymore. No, no.
I like it.
To face, sharing love in a temporary place.
Just for the moment,
I got a girl
that I love.
You got a man.
I think you love him too.
If they found out, I'm sure they wouldn't understand.
No way, no way.
I wanna play.
Me.
What can I say, man? We off to a hot start. We are red hot and rolling tonight. We don't mess around and we don't stop until the break of dawn. You know what I'm saying? I continue to hit you with these vibes. You continue to feel these vibes. You know what I'm saying? Doing a little bit of Flossy Jeezy. You know what I'm saying? Hip-hop soul, super soul for Monday. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like some Monday magic, kind of like the songs I put out. 646-595-3402. I was able to go in and correct that number for you so that you could feel it. You see, correct that number for you so you could feel it and see what was going on. You know how your boy Flossy G is. He does it for you every time. He tries to keep you up to date and on the snuff, and everything is looking hot and lovely so far. So we're going to continue to, you know what I'm saying, get it in for you. We're going to hit you off one time with a little bit of Wu-Tang Clan then, One Blood, under the W, you know what I'm saying, from the W album. Flossy G is continuing to hit you hard like that. Little Junior Reed in there with the Wu-Tang Clan. Enjoy yourself.
Mountain from the top of the city, and the blood, blood. You could have come from the Ima, you come from Jungle. You could have come from Fire outside, you come from Tower in One Blood, One Blood, One Blood.
I was rolling, showing my age, unshaven, rugged with my Timberland boots, that pain. I walk with a slight lean from the weight of my heat, giving the green to shine infrared beam at the street traffic light recorders, taking pictures of our corners. Cameras on the side of the buildings, we destroy them. The chameleon throws cream to children out the window. We moving in unmarked vans, disguised as a light can with plastic faces and rubber hands. Fuck fame, I shoot a hole in a 50 cent piece to test my aim. I dare you call the guards in vain, not knowing the seriousness of this and why I came to earth feet first. I dare you lion tame to the beat of the drum. No questioning to the session, I walk with guns. The magnum will bust his head from many directions unknown. Another statistic, change the ballistics on the nozzle, make him goggle and swallow. Scrape the craters of the brain for data. Old scriptures on withered paper begin to take shape and form when the guards get on and crash your collar.
You could have come from uptown, now you come from downtown. You could have come from another town, now you come from round town. One blood, one blood, one blood. The first thing is fighting, travel one, race and one heart. The blood, blood.
Now verse 2, even more deadly than the first, unrehearsed raw footage. Part 2 for you, I get this dedication, Project Elimination, he's a burnt offering, nothing up my sleeve, I'm just vanishing with the vanishing cream, here's Jews to live by, identify before you enter and can't leave, we agree, fuck that, we waste no time in search of those who can't breathe, a bomb only has one time to explode, when I break I'm taking everything, turn the city streets to dusty roads. Behold, it's returning the invincible toad. Root like Governor Tools and King Custom. Who gave the order to bust them? Don't ask, this is genuine draft. Blueprint, ultimate legit, sing international, stole up classical, coming back to attack in black fatigue, Wu-Tang and Junior Reed.
You could have come from Lebanon, you come from Iran. Could have come from China, you come from Japan. One blood, one blood, one blood. You could have come from uptown, now you come from downtown. Could have come from another town, now you come from downtown. One blood, one blood, one blood. The first thing is fighting, travel one, reason why heart, dark blood, blood. My beside it dances every day, for beside it dies. Sister, representing murder every day. You could have come from the Ima, you could have come from Fire outside, you could have come from Tower. One blood, one blood, one blood. You could have come from Brooklyn, now you could have come from Jack. Could have come from Queen, you could have come from Jersey. One blood, one blood, one blood.
You could have come from Long Island or you come from Philly. You could have come from Tennessee or you come from Overcock. One love, one love, one love.
We now get to see what level of grab ass they're going to play in the situation in which this brother was assaulted and choked out. We're now going to get to see exactly what it is that they had done that was wrong that we saw before. And hopefully, his family should get some justice. I think they will get some justice. Like I said before, it's a shame that this man had to, you know, get killed that way before, you know, something happened, you know, to change what was going on. Eric, rest in peace, my brother. Whatever's going on, you certainly didn't deserve to get what you got. You certainly didn't deserve to die over cigarettes or anything else or any other kind of, you know, weird and inane fuckery that they came up with in order that your life had to be cut short. You know, God's blessings to you. God's blessings to, you know, your friends. God's blessings to your family and everyone else who had to witness you, you know, take on that ugly situation, you know what I'm saying, that you had to take on, you know what I'm saying? Rest in peace to you and to your entire family, and God's blessings to you and your entire family. So, you know what I'm saying? I just hope and I pray that, you know, everything that happened to you yesterday can be resolved in a legal fashion. But people, you know, if this kind of thing keeps on up, we may have to have a revolution and maybe, you know what I'm saying, burn this motherfucker down or something. Because, you know, these cops can't keep killing us like that. So with no further ado, I'm going to bring in my right hand, my man with this plan, the man on the scene, the man from the Emerald City, a.k.a. Seattle, my main man, Sugar Ray Robinson. What's going on?
Ladies and gentlemen, what's popping?
Oh, man. You what's already know, man. Well, you know how it is, man. You got to, as Wu-Tang said, protect your neck and watch your back, man, because people might try to grab your product and run off with it. You know what I'm saying? Playing
yes,
stuff
sir.
Of their own and all kind of other crazy stuff, you know? Got to watch your back at all times.
Yeah, that's true. No doubt about it, man. You got to, man.
Mm-hmm.
What's the topic tonight, man? What y'all discussing right now?
Man, you already know what it is, family. This is the Flossing Jeezy Super Soul and Hip Hop Monday. You know what I'm saying? Classic hip-hop,
mm-hmm.
R&B, funk, and jazz. Some lively relationship talk as usual, you know what I'm saying? Because that's our own personal forte, you know what I'm saying? Not to be copyrighted, often imitated, but never duplicated. You know, some general subjects, plus more of that good old-fashioned, you know what I'm saying, what's on your mind and what you doing? You know what I'm saying? That
yeah.
That was a highly rated show last week, man. That was our highest rated show last week. People want to know what's on your mind and what you're doing, so there it is there.
Yeah, man, it's a lot. You know, it's a lot, man. It's a lot of stuff to talk about, man. A lot of stuff. You know,
yeah.
Oh, you know what? You guys carry on what y'all are talking about. I'm going to get this bike down for my daughter so she can go and exercise and do a thing with her girlfriends. And I want to talk about what I definitely want to get in and talk about. I want to talk about the situation in New York City. About this brother,
okay, you do your thing, but before you go, just so you can see what's popping and what's happening in the town, I got a little something here. I want to see if you remember. I know you got a hell of a memory. I'm going to toss this one on, so while you go do that, I'll play this one, and then when it goes off, we'll be back to go ahead and get
yes,
out of
sir.
It. You know what I'm saying?
646-595-3402.
What you know about this one, Dr. Robinson?
Hit it.
Huh. Oh. We'd like to dedicate this record to all the DJs in the entire world.
Play that song, keep me dancing,
yes,
baby, idiosyncratic personality. For the new tunes we hear today, playing clear across the nation. And thank you for country, western, funk, jazz, and death slow records of the past. You see, we're living in a time of rock and roll, hip hop, new wave, and classic. Come on, everybody, turn you down, up and down, down and up, find yourself. Then set back, get your face out the tube. You're smoother than Dr. J. You didn't come to the party in a limousine, yet your guts are fresh and your rap's so mean. Take your two turntables and a microphone, your cap off. Keep them dancing all night.
Brownsville.
Sometimes the old school scratch is just too strong.
Too strong or too wrong, bro. That was hot.
The double dutch. if the boy tries to get it in, because the playback always sounds a lot better than the show itself. And hey, Chevrolet, I was listening to a story earlier, and we talked about it yesterday. You know what I'm saying? Once again, the good old fashioned fuckery story that we saw yesterday when Mr. Eric Garner got killed by police. And I saw three things that really alarmed me today about that. And this is one of two fuckery stories of the day that I'm kind of pining through and milling around with. This first one, and we'll talk about the other one later. But this is about a brother that's getting choked out, supposedly over some cigarettes or some whatever it is, whatever he was, he wasn't supposed to die for. And you're watching the media and the police bitch up already and talk about what the brother's previous crime record was. Yet they don't talk about the fact that, first of all, the guy that put the chokehold on him had been sued twice by people in New York because of excessive behavior with similar incidents. That's one. Two, a police officer, right, in question, according to New York City police policy, chokeholds are not supposed to be administered to people, even to subdue them down, because that's why they created tasers, and you got five guys there choking somebody out like that who has asthma, who's telling you he has asthma, and he's dead today, and I'm looking at a picture of him and his wife right now. And the third thing is the cop that choked him out, same clown that choked him out, same clown that violated police policy, same clown that all they did was just take his badge from him. At the end of everything that's going on, he's standing there in front of whoever had the camera on, smiling and waving after he killed this guy, waving into the camera. And I'm thinking that this guy should be in chains somewhere or on charges or in the bottom basement of somebody's police precinct, because he just murdered someone, went against police policy, and he's sitting here smiling and waving at the camera like he just won the lottery or something. And then they show pictures of the brother on the ground with his hands still behind his back, and he's unconscious. None of the police, there's six policemen sitting there, and none of them, and all they're getting is desk duty. Six cops are sitting here, and none of them are giving him CPR. Then the EMTs came out that are supposed to be the ones who give CPR, right? They don't administer him any CPR. And I think it's because they knew he was dead already, because he was dead on arrival when they took him to the hospital. What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, man, I'm very disappointed and very sad and hurt for the family, you know, and I mean, for the whole community. I mean, that's a very sad situation, you know. That's a tough experience to ever go through something like that. I never witnessed nothing like that. The closest thing I had come to me to happen like that dealing with police was my uncle, who got killed, and we don't know, it's unknown, we don't know about that, but we think the police are suspected. But anyway, there's a long, for some reason, you know, there's a long history about the cops, and they beating up on women, and they doing all kinds of stuff. They've been videotaped for years of stuff they've been doing, and there's a long list of what they've done, and all kind of stuff goes on. But looking at this situation with this, the way it actually happened, because I've seen the video. You know what's so funny? I've seen that video came out. I mean, it happened July 17th, but I've seen that video like the next 2 days after, I think it was.
Right.
It was posted. And what's so sad about that video, you could actually see that guy when he was alive physically and what was going on before they actually killed him. And the thing about it is, man, is that It's really awful. It's bad, and it's a situation where it's nothing really in our favor. See, people look at the situation now, and America and everybody else see it. It's getting to the point where it's a normal thing now. It's like, okay, it's no big deal. Another black life lost. It's no big deal. It's not an issue. My son, man, he was sitting there talking to me, and he was talking to me about going to school for criminal justice. And I said, for what? What you want to be? He said he was talking about being a police officer. And I pulled him over. I said, let me talk to you about something. What if it happened to be a situation you be put down in Rainier Valley area and you're down there working and you're down there going against your own kind? And he was like, damn, that'd be fucked up. I said, don't look at the money. Then I showed him that video. After I showed him that video, he was done. No, I don't want to do that. I'm good. I don't want to do that. Because it's obvious, man. There's a problem, man. And it's never, ever, ever going to change until something's going to happen where there's going to be an all-out martial law going on where you're going to end up finding a lot of cops killed. I'm telling you. Because people are going to start to take matters in their own hand. And when I say people, I'm talking about my people, us. We're going to start taking situations in our own hand because we can't get no justice. It's just us. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm going to go on record, and I'm going to say this, and I don't give a damn who hears me. If anything happens like that to my son, they're going to be smoking the city. But let's believe me, I might be dead too because I'm going all out, and I'm going to go all out. Because I've seen this thing too many times to where there's nothing ever happens in our favor. It's a long out drawn situation to where we got to go through all kind of different trials and all kind of spotlight type stuff for the media that makes us look like, just let us sit there and wait. And then we wait. Even if it so happened that we get some kind of situation, we got to cheer and be happy for what we get. That right there is that's a damn shame right there in his damn self. And at the same time, it's a flip thing where we most of the time we don't get that. To be honest with you, and I know it ain't going to happen, Barack Obama has to say something. This is a situation, man, the way he is at the... I know there's a lot of stuff going on over there, way over another, across the waters and all kind of stuff like that. But, man, I'm going to tell you right now, if they think they're having a war over there, the biggest war is going to be when they have over here. Because if they keep playing and they keep messing up, and there's a serious situation that's in process right now. There's a serious slow revolution that's going on. People are really active, taking their time, and it's a level of consciousness going up to where cats are going to get messed up. They're going to get really messed up. There's people are meeting right now. There's a lot of stuff going on. People got dates. They have weekends of partying, and the parties that they're talking about ain't party like cookout and kicking and hanging out. They on some revolutionary gathering type shit, and it's going on, and it's not a situation of guys sitting back thinking like, oh, they gonna take care of it. No, dudes are sick and tired. They not done. They done with that shit. You beating on our women, you shooting our kids, and you taking out our men. You basically is all out assault on black people. Is what it is. Because when you go there and you do what you do and say what you say and drag us through that, it shows that right now what we're going through is no different than what we went through back in the 40s or 30s or whatever. It's the same thing. Only thing different is we just spending money with them. That's the only thing different. They like us more because we entertain them. You take all that away, it'd be the same old thing. They'd be trying to kill us. They need us to lock us up to make money off us. That keeps them going. They do everything. They make money off us to play sports. Sports, all that stuff makes money. It's to the point right now, man. I've said it, and I'm going to say it again. And my man said it on the, Zoe Williams. He said this. And I remember I posted on my Facebook. I said, the greatest terrorism that could happen for black people is unification. Us unified would be the biggest American terror attack. That'd be the most. That's the most fearful thing that Americans have. If we unify and come as one, that'd be the most scariest thing ever in the world. Because we have the opportunity, man, to have a chance to get together and be so united to where we spend our money only on us. Only on us, and we just say, hey, we done doing this, we're going to do us. Do you believe we will have so much juice? That I mean, all NBA league, all NFL league, all this, all music, everything all about us. We united, because people in London and Canada are struggling the same way. All the blacks worldwide, all abroad, networking, talking, reaching out, coming together. We get to that way of doing it. We create a capital so much, so big, and we get so much money that they're in on the flip side thinking about, wow. And it will hurt their economy, because the best way to mess with white folks, the best way to mess with white folks and get their fucking attention is fuck with their money. Fuck with their money. You stop playing ball for them. You stop doing shit like that. Like back in the day when they had the situation with Martin Luther King, where he stopped riding the buses and shit. You fuck their whole situation up, man. Then they'd be to the point they're on their knees. Oh, well, oh. Now, fuck you. We're going to do our thing. Because they are making money off us. And then on top of that, they're killing us. I'm tired, bro. I'm absolutely tired. It's devastating. I feel bad for Eric Gardner, and I feel bad for Jordan Davis, Trayvon Martin, Sean Bell. That can go on forever. Talking about so many brothers that lost their lives to BS, to the cops. To the cops. Richard Glenn Robinson, to the cops. I mean, everybody knows somebody that's been harassed, been disrespected by the cops. I walk down the street, get looked at them funny. Because they figure that I'm up to no good. It's just sick, man. White folks are sick. And I hate to say it. You guys are very sick. I won't tell you that. You're very sick. And it's not all of you guys, but the majority of you guys in power are very, very sick. Very sick.
Well, you said it all right there, my family. And I don't have to guess. I'm thinking along the lines that, you know, these people are just, you know what I'm saying? It's incredible. It's incredible the stuff that these people, you know what I'm saying, almost, not all, but almost, their entire fucking race, man, when it comes down to looking at us as second-class citizens, when it comes down to, you know, the stuff that we see that happens, you know, on TV, when it comes down to, you know, all this fuckery that is presented in front of us, law enforcement, gentrification, the gay agenda on us, people pushing up on us and doing shit to us. There's a stopgap here somewhere, man. We just need to alert ourselves to that stopgap and find that stopgap. And once we find that stopgap, we need to make damn sure that we seize the moment, find the stopgap, and close that son of a bitch up. Let me give you an example of something that I'm talking about. The story that I posted today. And, you know, I don't get angry about very many things that gay men do. because that shit ain't got nothing to do with me. I said that. That shit ain't got nothing to do with me. It ain't got nothing to do with our people. It ain't got nothing to do with our purpose. We find so many times that it from, you know, niggas wearing blonde hair to niggas, you know, kissing dogs in the mouth to niggas, you know what I'm saying, on fag shit. It's just general purpose fuckery that ain't got nothing to do with us, but we keep on getting caught up in shit that ain't got nothing to do with us. Let me tell you how emboldened these people are. Posted this story today, and the title of the story is, of all things, and this is going to make you angry as well, probably, white gay men to black women, we're on your side, so stop pushing us away. You got a picture here with Donald Lemon's, you know, strawberry punk ass between this sister and this gay dude, right? And this is how emboldened they become. In a recent piece, right, with Time Magazine, writer Stephen Fritz, or Freeze, whatever his name is, told a personal story of how he came to know black women through his boyfriend. He said he recalled a concert that headlined by Queen Latifah and Erykah Badu, and he recalled how the audience was filled with just black women, right, but also white gay men. Priest also says that the relationship between gay white men and black women goes far back. Now, I've never heard of this shit before, and I've never heard of this farce that this guy is talking about, but this is the fuckery that CNN puts on shit they want you to believe. At a University of Mississippi senior, according to Freeze, believed that she was defending, right, women from a cultural theft. Probably, you know, it's a sister now, probably went against, you know, these guys stepping in and dirty dicking their men and doing all this dope, old, other foul shit. But once again, has nothing really to do with us as a people. Said to believe she was defending them from cultural theft. And she told him, you are not a black woman. You do not claim either blackness or womanhood. It is not yours. It is not for you, the woman scolded. Freeze acknowledges that the relationship between white gay men and black women isn't perfect, but it's a strong alliance that he wants to see continue, which that's fuckery. He's probably just talking about some women that he know, okay? And he says white men, white gay men as a group could be the truest, repeat this, listen carefully here. White gay men as a group could be the truest friends of black women can have in American society. No alliance is perfect, but this one has the potential, if nurtured, right, to reconfigure the stories of race and gender. He says black women should take advantage of the solidarity that exists between gay white men and black women to further issues important to black women. White gay men, once intensely vilified, right, but now are able to harness our white privilege for good, having learned what being an outsider is like, are a conduit through which black women can work against both countervailing forces that push them down, right? Freeze openly acknowledges that the oppression of the black woman has been historically worse than gay men have experienced, but that there's no question that white gays have intrinsic advantages over black women in American society. He said that, sure, we take our lips of black women, certainly win the sweepstakes, and an impression by a landslide. So according to Freeze, this is not as important an argument as who has been oppressed more, spoken like a true white man, since black women can lay claim to that, but how both groups can ally each other. He concludes that saying the mutual fondness between so many black women and white gay men makes them natural allies, and no one should be allowed to undermine that bond. First of all, right off the fucking top, and this is fuckery alert part two. Right off the fucking rip, right off the top, for this motherfucker to come along and say that they can be the best friend to a sister, above and beyond a brother, above and beyond her own family, above and beyond the males within that woman's family, is complete fuckery without chaser. Complete fuckery without chaser. And to say that somehow that there's some alliance, what I see here is the same old part 2 or 2.0 Willie Lynch bullshit, where this devil sneaks up on between us and our women,
and lays down this fuckery that somehow he should be, you know, allowed to get three things out of it. He should be allowed to come in there and whatever your issue is, sit down and shut up and move out the way because we're here now. And that somehow she should move out the way and allow him to just step the fuck in to her place and basically have even footing and even grounding, so to speak, with her man and her men and everything else. And so she should somehow, you know what I'm saying, allow this fucking clown of all the people out there to come between, and this is just another approach. You couldn't do it with the grouchy white man. So you stick these fucking gays on our women because you're hairstylist or whatever the fuck it is you're doing, and all of a sudden you want to be feminine so bad that it's killing you. You now come up with this new plan to once again further weaken society, slip in and have sex with our women and kill off our and destroy our race and do all this fuckery under the guise of being gay and have y'all probably not, but just saying that so y'all could get close to our women. So my response was this. When they had comments on the story, I said, truest friend, get the fuck out of here. This is truly just another case of another white man imposing fuckery on our people, and in particular, our women. That seems to be the unrelenting problem with white America in general. You don't respect or really care for our peeps, but you always have your two cents to put in or a hidden agenda. Please spare us the fuckery. My second comment was, after 500 years of black oppression versus 50 years or 55 years of peeps trying to brainwash my peeps into an idea, right, the two once again, being gayness and black people, have absolutely no equal time or relevance. It's just another white man who appears to, happens to like men, right, while my sisters have always had the weight of the world on their shoulders, and here are guys like this slithering into the picture to create more confusion. To compare 500 years of what my women have gone through to this thinking is insulting and ridiculous, right? And so so those are the two comments that I made. My point is this, and I'm going to try to keep it in short form, but it's hard for me to do it because it's an emotional thing. For years, black men have been trying to be close with their women. Some brothers, you know, go off the deep end and maybe do a few things that maybe are bad. But to sit up here and have the temerity and the arrogance to say that somehow some faggot-ass white man has some kind of intrinsic power or closeness to our sisters more than we do with our own sisters is not only ridiculous at its worst proportion, but it is fuckery in the worst possible, to the worst possible degree and of order. How in the hell do you figure that somehow, that first of all, I've never heard of gay white men being close to sisters and on this fuckery level that you're talking about, and I don't know who you hang around, and I'm glad I don't hang around those people, but to come in and be so obviously disrespectful and telling women as a front line of the story with Donald Lemon's punk ass sitting right there in between them, because Donald Lemon, that's he's going to sponsor on CNN because he hates his own race and wants to be white so bad his teeth hurt. It says that we're on your side, so stop pushing us out of the way. Who the fuck do you think you are?
Man, this is crazy, brother. This is man, this situation is very troubling, you know what I mean? That right there, I know you mentioned it to me earlier, and I didn't get a chance to read the article. I looked into it, man, but, you know, this situation with gay men is really getting to the point where it's out of a hand. It's out of hand. See, the thing about it with me with CNN, this is the problem I have with CNN. CNN is in a place, and it's down in Atlanta, Georgia. That's where CNN is located. That's at least where I've seen CNN. That's where it is. You know, so that's what they do down there. But at the same time, man, Don Lemon, to me, has always been kind of a weird dude. Who's basically a puppet, who's basically a guy who's used to put in there as a ploy to be part of a representation of what they call black. You know, and that's their version of the new black. See, the thing about it with them guys, man, is that a lot of people that come on these shows and they try to talk about information about black people or whatever, they take their chance, and what they'll do, they go and get puppets. And what they'll do, they basically pay certain people to be on those shows to represent something because of the skin color. Those gay guys come out there because they have an agenda, always got an agenda. They always want to be heard. The situation about black women it baffles me, because the thing about it, you get people on there that don't even really, I don't know, because I don't even know what they're talking about. They're just on there because of skin color, who they are. See, the thing about them is they'll never get, one thing about being on these television shows and things like that, they'll never get no heavyweight hit on there. They'll never put nobody on there that can talk, that really put the situation in its place. They won't do that. They won't threaten, because they don't want to put that on there. So what they'll do is they have a certain circle of people that get on there, and they may pay them a little small fee, and they come on there and they do what they got to do. But the point is, they won't get no heavyweight hitters. You have all these guys out there and all these women out there that know a lot of information, but they won't put the mic to them. I mean, we could name a whole list of women that they could have put there, and that would address that problem real well. But they won't do it, because they know if they put Michelle Alexander Frances Wilson, you put her on there. Oh, I think that's her name. There's a lot of people on there, man, that they won't put on there, man, that they won't do anything for them. So that's an issue in itself. Hold on, I got a call right quick.
Okay, I'll field this call because your girl Melissa is getting ready to check in from New York. So be hurry up and get back in. Well, I'll let you in a minute, my family. That's Sugar Ray Robinson. And guess who's in the building? Who's in the building?
What's up, guys? How are y'all tonight?
Doing absolutely fabulous. Sugar Ray is on his other line answering the call right now. So that means you're going to be stuck with me for a couple of seconds.
Hey, why not? Why not?
Leos and Aries do get along, so that'll work.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, Leos get along with everybody.
Oh, yeah, well, there it is. Just like my mom. My mom and I both Leos, too.
Leos get along everybody.
Here's a story that you're a black woman, and so, mm-hmm. You know, here's a story that we were just talking about, craziness as it is. It's a story that was entitled White Gay Men to Black Women. We're on your side, so stop pushing us away.
Like right. Gay men?
White gay men are trying to send out a message. We're sending out a message on CNN talking about we're on your side, so stop pushing us away. It says here, it says that this writer named Stephen Freese told a personal story about he came to know black women through his boyfriend, and he recalled a concert headlined by the likes of Queen Latifah and Erykah Badu, and how the audience wasn't filled with black women, but also with white gay men. But of course, so Free says that the relationship between gay white men and black women goes back far. There's your racism right there, because you only talk about white gay men. And that I'm insulted by that, by any stretch of the
imagination. Wow. Well, you know what? There's probably way back in slavery time. There probably was gay slavery masters, right? But nobody wants to talk about that.
Check it out. The thing about I want you guys to know is that we're not going to dwell too much on that because I'm going to tell you why I want. Because the thing is, this is the biggest thing I'm really bothered about it. Because they trying to lure us into their bullshit. See, that negative, that gay shit, and you trying to add to my white men, we're trying to get close to you black women and stuff. See, the thing about the black woman such as yourself, that's that trick shit. That's that trick shit. Because they trying to do anything they possibly can to turn themselves against the black men. The white guy wants to stand between us, between the black woman and the black man. That's what he wants to do. He want to keep them divided. Because if he keeps them divided, he can conquer. He can rule. He can take over everything. My whole point
is
that.
Yeah, right about that.
I'm serious, man, and that's how this television shit, and that's how these motherfuckers work, man, because when it comes down to it is, they always got something up their sleeve. I'm telling you, man, like I said on my post, man, unification of black people is the biggest terrorist threat for America, bro. We get together and we come together as one. That's the most fierce thing. That's why my group called the Fear of a Black Planet. Because you know why? Because they fear that. They fear that, man. Because we come together on one accord and understand what our mission is, what our goal is, and take care of one of another, take care of each other.
Man, believe me, Delta, we'll be
they
better
know what
than
the fucking do. We will take over. They will take over. We get all. We say fuck it. We take our basketball team, our football team. We do our own league.
That's right. And you know, I realized something. Why is it that these owners are white men?
You
notice that?
Because they want to run, because they want to make they want to make money off our back. It's a modern day slavery. That's what it is.
Mm.
You see, what's killing me about this whole thing here is how he continues to talk about this business of, and what's the most alarming to me is when he says ignorant shit, like how they ought to take advantage of his whiteness and that arrogance right there, how he wants, you know, them to have this solidarity and the fact that he wants to be able to help them through all the oppression and stuff that they've been through. Now that they get an opportunity to know what it's like being on the outside, first of all, I'll say again, for you to sit up and take 500 years, it's no longer 400 years, it's now 500 years. First of all, you're saying that you could be the best friend that a black woman can have in America because you white and you're fag. Which is fuckery. And it says here, it's just another case.
Because it's
not
true.
White man. It's just another case of him imposing himself on our people, particularly with our women. And that seems to be the unrelenting problem with white America, is that you don't respect us for who we are, you don't care about who we are, but you want to try to stick your hidden agendas and fuckery in here on us. 500 years of oppression compared to 50 years of oppression and trying to brainwash us into, you know, these silly ideas. You know what I'm saying? You're just another man who, once again, who just happens to like dudes, right? Meanwhile, our sisters have had, you know, the weight of the world on their shoulders for 500 years because during the early days, they couldn't repel the slave masters' assaults. They couldn't stop the rape that was going on. Hell, they couldn't even breastfeed our relatives because their little brats had to come ahead of them in the pecking order for even getting that type of closeness. So now you're going to come full circle in 2014 and come at us with direct fuckery and somehow say that you can be our women's best friend? No, this is another standard of you coming here with that disease mind, that confusion, and trying to once again, you know, post yourself up and then tell a sister how to further alienate themselves from a black man because in reality, you're hoping to set yourself up in some kind of way where your position will be stronger. You couldn't do it with the grouchy white man, so you try to send what appears to be the weak white man at us. And what's bad is that this gay fucker is responsible for gentrification. He's responsible for fooling people into thinking that somehow his artsy bullshit, nobody's an artist but him. He has all these little facades and bullshit that he tries to throw at you, and we're supposed to sit here and just soak this up. Like I said, I usually don't get worked up over anything. But when you start fucking with our women, a.k.a. our sisters, our mothers, our aunts, our nieces, and you start coming at them with this direct line fuckery, you already get the Willie Lynch program of knocking the natural order of the black man and woman out of place in the first place. Now you want to come in with some 2.0
disease mind bullshit. We are not having it. 747-221, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey,
how are you?
Doing?
How are you? Who do we have on deck tonight? Well, it's okay. Just feel free to listen if you're more comfortable. It's okay. Yeah, well, just let us know when we come back. I'm going to place you on hold. We're going to continue to talk. But feel free to listen and chime in any time if you like. But the whole thing is that, you know, my thing is that so much stuff has already happened to our folks. So much stuff has already happened to our people where, you know, our understanding on who we are as a people, where we stand in this country and everything else has been undermined so much. To slip in here with this one and to try to drive that wedge, which is all you're trying to do, because you're saying that you are the only one that can play, you know, solution person. You're not even accepted with that nonsense from your own people. So to say that you can somehow become our women's best friend, like, you know, we can't help resolve our own problems and stuff, but we've never had the opportunity. Because we've always been confronted with a whole new dilemma. And it's bad enough that this agenda gets jammed down our throats. It's bad enough that we can't seem to get any foothold in our own community. You don't respect us enough to allow us to even have our own community. But I agree. I'm going to let it go and let some other folks talk. But I just agree with Sugar Ray. I think that it's going to come to a point where either something drastic is going to have to happen before our folks unify the way that they need to, or else, you know, something drastic is going to happen. You know, this brother gets choked out by the cops yesterday. We got this story going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's too much that's going on that's unnecessary and continues to pull away from who we are as a people and everything else. And I've been long since tired of it, but when I see stories like this, I have to shine a light on them because these folks are actually more dangerous than we think that they are. They really are more dangerous. I mean, Pete Wilson made it in California where instead of doing it in San Francisco, where it's most prevalent or spreading it all the way out to California, you go to the blackest city in California, which is Oakland, and you tell those people that K through 12, it is mandatory for us to learn this lifestyle and learn this study. I think that you know what I'm saying, at a very rudimentary or basic level, this is the worst type of brainwashing dogma that I've seen come out of these people in a long time, and it really needs to stop because it's not beneficial to us, and it's really not beneficial to them. I'm in agreement with Malcolm X. One of the worst things that we probably ever did in reality was do the integrating of the schools and everything, because when we integrated schools and we integrated everything, we kind of lost the balance of who we were as a people, and that's why I'm all for homeschooling, because when you can take a political agenda and force it on everybody the way that you do, I have a definite problem with that. So that's my thoughts for the day.
Yeah, you know, hey man, I'm gonna tell you this right now, man. You know, when we had Black Wall Street, I don't think people really realized, you know, the Tulsa when we had it back in 1920, I think it was. Well, I think it was like June 1st, 1921, I think, or whatever, when they bombed it. Now, check this out, man. Have you ever had a city in America being bombed like that or being done like that? I mean, they actually bombed that city, man. I mean, they took out our businesses. We had like 600 or more, over 600 businesses there. And what I'm trying to say is, man, is that they did all that. And we basically right now to the point where we kind of like doing everything and going along our ways and spending money with them because that's all we do. They still fucking over us, man. I mean, slavery is in full effect. It's in full effect. And the thing about it, these motherfuckers, no matter what goes on, man, they're going to always want to have the control. See, the thing is about that, they're controlling our minds a lot more than anything because, think about it, people say that we have to dress a certain way to be accepted or we have to do a certain thing to be accepted. Like, motherfuckers go into interviews and act differently. Like, they go to different jobs, they act differently. They have to act. I had a girl I was talking to the other day. She was talking about she got to get her white on. Get your what on? Are you for real? Get your white on? What the fuck is that? I'm going to be me. I'm not going to be me. If I can't be nobody else, I don't want to be nobody else. But what I'm trying to say is, man, we have to really get to our own self, man, understand, man, that we cannot fucking deal with these people. And the thing is, we're going to have to understand that we're going to have to basically look at ourselves and say, hey, we're going to have to start spending our money with each other. Like right now, I'm telling you right now, this IBTHH, this website and everything I'm building, everything I'm spending on this shit is black. Even the motherfucker that did my logo, he's in Nigeria. He's black. Everything is black. What I'm trying to say is because I don't trust them motherfuckers, man. Because the point I'm making is if I get to the point of dealing with them so much, eventually if I do so much, they're going to yank our car and pull it away. They're going to just – that's why I feel about this Facebook. And we do what we do on the Facebook, but the thing about it, you never know, man. They could use that against you. You know what I'm saying? I know that, you know. But at the same time, I ain't going to stop what I'm going to do, though. But at the same time, you know how crooked now these motherfuckers are. Everything they gather, tracking advice and keeping up what's going on. They killed all these. I was watching Hidden Colors, man. I don't know if y'all watched Hidden Colors 3. They said in there, man, that they killed all the leaders, man. They were talking about Saddam, the one they made. Saddam, they killed him. You know, he was a made terrorist. Then Bin Laden, they got rid of him. You know, I mean, they were naming a few guys they got rid of. And what they did, now they're coming back home to deal with what? The real terrorists that they had a problem with from the beginning, us. So they come back, they're dealing with us now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were saying in the 60s, man, we wore them out, man. I mean, in the 60s, we kicked their ass with all kind of shit. We was on our shit in the 60s with all that shit was going on. It was a serious threat, man. Them white folks couldn't handle that shit. Now, here we are, this shit's going to go down again. We got a lot of cats. They don't want to put the microphone to their mouth because there's certain cats that can come out in the mouth and be on the mic and say some shit. There's a serious thing going on, man. And I'm telling you, it's going to go on. It's going to get to the point, man, that where cats ain't going to take no more. Like I said about Eric Garden, I put this on everything in my love. I love, man. If that's my son, best believe me, I'm not going to be nice about it. I'm going out. And I ain't going, and it ain't going to be no coon shit. It ain't going to be no crying shit. I'm going out like a G.
Like, no, I'm bust your ass.
Fuck it, man. Why not? Somebody got to make a stand. It's a statement. Make a stand. Make a statement.
I like the fact that you're doing a website that has nothing but promoting black people, black business. And that's what I love. I mean, I love that. You know, it's nice.
At least it's
a way that if people do that, it just creates better stuff in the community. Because it comes from your own people. It's made from your own people.
Right.
You know,
it's
not
it's
like
about us. It's about us. It's about us. It's strictly about us. It's talking about.
You know, everybody always want to be defensive towards each other and. You know, one day it's gonna get that time that everybody's really gonna have to fight, and we're gonna have to stand up with each other.
And if you see a fight on there, you won't see two blacks fighting each other. That's for sure. You be finding a white boy getting the shit knocked out of him for using a nigga when you call somebody a nigga or something like that. Because I'm not gonna have that coon shit, man. Where we have, you know, brothers and sisters out there getting disrespected and all that kind of stuff. I'm not doing that. That's not gonna be on that shit. All that. Twerking and shit. No, that's not going down like that. Because that right there put us down to a level that where we just it fucks us up, man. It's one of those. It's a site that I'm putting on, man. That I want motherfuckers that when they go on there, they can respect it. They're gonna like, oh, I like this. This is cool. It's informational. There's some information that I can get on here. There's some stuff. I mean, I can see what I currently like. Say for instance, a video by some rapper, Drake or whatever. Okay, he may be on there. And what I'm trying to say, the reason why he'll be on there is because it's hip hop. And the thing about it, you know, people like that. So people are going to follow that, and they're going to say, okay, it's hot. But when they see that, they're going to bump into something else that they never saw before. Like, damn, oh, shit. This is Dr. Umar Johnson. Because you want to lure them in. You know what I'm saying? You want to lure them in to come do what they like, and do what they do and see what they see. But then at the same time, they see something they really need to see, and they be like, damn, this is Dr. Phil Valentine. Oh, man, this is Louis Farrakhan. Whoa, these cats, they're happy. Because the thing about it is, man, people don't know about that because they don't get what they see. The thing is, there's no other way of people seeing that on television at all.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, if you want to see, you have to go on YouTube or something like that, and you got to dig for it. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get to the point where making it more available for you so you can actually see it, you know what I'm saying, so you can get an idea and say, oh, shit, this is up, and try to keep it current, try to keep it popping so I can get connected to those people and say, hey, you know, you can put it on YouTube, but at the same time, holler at me when you got something new coming out because I want to put it on the site, man, so people can know what's going on and generate a lot of people to come through. Now, that's what I'm talking about. That's some real shit. I got some other shit, man, I'm not going to say too much of because
I don't want nobody stealing your shit.
Well, you know what? I put like this here. If it's a black person getting that same idea and doing it, that brother, that's cool with me. I ain't got no problem with that because it ain't just mine. It's ours. And the whole point is I don't care because the thing about it is it's for all of us, man, because we need this. Because the thing about it is more about the message, more about liberation of the people than it is about the money. We all want to make money. But the thing is, to make money, you want to do the right thing with it. You know what I'm saying? Because I ain't trying to buy no goddamn Jordans. Fuck Jordan, too. I got some Jordans. Matter of fact, I'm talking to my boy Wes. I got two pair of Jordans. And I didn't buy these motherfuckers. I bought one pair, but the other one I didn't buy. And the thing about it is, I told him I want to go viral with me burning up my Air Jordans. And he's like, what? I said, yeah, I want to burn my Air Jordans on TV, let motherfuckers know, put it on YouTube, let it go viral, let motherfuckers know that I don't give a fuck about that. Because I know cats stand in line and shit for that.
Of course.
You know
they'll kill for that. That's what's crazy.
Yeah. I'm going to burn mine. Ain't nobody going to get this. They can get the ashes from that shit. Seriously, man.
Great thing about it, that the man whose brand name is on there won't even stop and give a little brother, an autograph. He was playing in my hometown for the Bulls. Couldn't buy an autograph from this guy. My brother comedian there, right, famous.
He's a sellout.
He got stolen. He has a stock in the prison. Don't he have stock in the prison? I was told that Michael Jordan has stock in some stock. He's a stockholder in the prison system somewhere.
In the prison?
And also,
wow.
He is part of Jordan. I mean, Michael Jordan sneakers. So they buy his sneakers. They kill for his sneakers. Then they go to jail because of his sneakers in a prison that he has stock in.
That's nuts.
I mean, think about that shit, bro. I mean, like, damn. He's a billionaire, and
he's a washout.
But he's the only black NBA owner. You know what I'm saying? So think about this, man. Think about this guy. I mean, think about Michael Jordan. This guy, what has he done politically? Has he came out and said anything? Has he done anything for us as people? Oh, yeah, he done something. He had birth from a black woman, then he divorced her and got rid of her or whatever. Now he's married to a
white
woman.
Woman.
Now he's married to a white woman. Now she has a baby. Brother, I'm just saying, man. Get me wrong, man. Mm-hmm. The baby.
But
don't that show you
that now that he has money, he wants to be like white people, but he don't realize that white people will always think of him as a nigger.
Well,
they will never see, no matter how much money he have, they will always say he's a nigger. And
yeah,
that's what he forget his subconscious.
But, but, But at the same time, you know why he gets that, because it's a benefit of him being quiet, for not being going against the grain. When you don't go against the grain, you get toys, you get benefits, you get things. Things happen for you because you don't go against the grain. When you go against the grain, you stand up for your people. You don't get that.
Stand up for your people. In a recent auction, this boy, they was auctioning jerseys. They had a Jordan jersey that went up, and it was, I guess, a rare jersey or whatever it was. It was autographed or whatever. And the rapper, famous black man, another famous black man, Chameleonaire, rapper, auctions to try to get this guy's jersey. So he jumps over this other guy and spends a gang of money on the boy's jersey. So you figure, okay, Michael Jordan saw him do it and everything. He was there when the auction went down. So he goes to try to get an autograph from Michael Jordan. Okay, keep in mind, this is a popular rapper. You know what I'm saying? He's a multi-million dollar, almost platinum rapper. And he gets this jersey, and he goes to get an autograph from Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan is like, I ain't taking no goddamn pictures with no niggas, with no jersey. I don't give a damn if you bought this jersey or not. Say, hey, man, come on, man. You know, I just bought this jersey. You know what I'm saying? Just you know, split the gang of money and stuff. Well, how much you spend for it? I spent $17,000. Well, nigga, spend another $10 million and give me $10 million more dollars, and then I'll let you take a picture with me. So Jordan has already shown that he's not exactly the man that we think he is. He never has been. I mean, all the years he was playing in my hometown, the kids, all they wanted was an autograph from this cat. He wouldn't even stop to give the kids an autograph, and the people can't stand him. His own teammates really didn't want to deal with him, but in order for them to get their rings and their fame, they had to kind of more or less put up with him. And then he has the most ungracious retirement speech that I've ever seen, in which he was, you know, talking crazy about his own team members. So, I mean, this guy has never really been, you know, wrapped too tight. He may have actually been the reason why his old man got snuffed out. Because them cats that snuffed out his old man down there in Carolina, you know, they didn't like Jordan. They didn't like Michael Jordan. So, I mean, it's all relative. It's all relative. I mean, it's crazy, but it's all relative. We see it all the time. You know what I'm saying?
But you know what, Stu? If the young men out there that's listening to this show right now, if they can understand that a young little boy asking for an autograph and not getting
you
it from someone that they idol, that
you
they idol.
The pizza?
Oh, yeah.
All right, thanks.
You know, someone that they idol is not, that doesn't care.
Hey, we got a new caller in?
Yeah, we got a caller, 747-221. Welcome to the show. Who we got on deck tonight? Welcome to the Flossy Jeezy Show Worldwide.
Peace.
Hello.
Mind over matter. What's up?
Peace, brother. How you doing?
How you doing, man? How you doing?
Man, enjoying the show, man. Y'all touching
Hello.
On some. How y'all doing? Y'all speaking on some very good topics tonight. Definitely.
Yes,
hey,
indeed, man.
We try to get it in. We try to keep it 100 all the time. You know, we don't care if they like it or love it, as long as they respect it. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Indeed.
Give a man sugar. We hold it down as often as we can with the lady from New York, Miss Melissa. So, you know, we try to get it in. We're just glad to have you on deck tonight, family.
Definitely. One of the things you spoke on that I really enjoyed hearing about was the segregation versus the integration, because it seemed like a lot of our elders, they're still coming to the realization that they was bamboozled by that whole idea of the illusion of inclusion. You know,
right.
There's even some youngsters that don't really understand that. I feel that those of us who are advanced in our understanding, because not just knowledge, you know, you can name by off the top of your dome all the Black Panthers, you can name off all the lessons from the 5%, you can name off all that and still not understand what's going on here today. And I think those of us who are in tune, we understand how we got severely bamboozled by that whole idea of the illusion of inclusion, because once we integrated into their society, we lost everything that we had built. All the
right.
trades, all the businesses, everything down to even the shoe shine. Right now, you would pay a Mexican to shine your shoes, and a white man owns that business. But back in the day, we owned that whole business, the cleaning businesses.
Yep.
You know, and now today
I mentioned that, yeah.
It definitely hurts. You know what I mean? It hurts when you walk up and down the street and you try to go to a black menace and you can walk for miles in some cities and some states and not find not one.
That's true.
I was gonna say, and then, you know, we sit here and then we act like it's not a big deal because the youth, they don't really understand how detrimental it is. You know, it's something wrong when you're raising these kids and you got 10, 11-year-olds who not only do they not know who the great leaders were, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Elijah Muhammad, they don't care. They looking at these buffoon-ass clown rappers, right. And I get tired of people saying, well, it ain't the rapper's fault. People understand, when you at war, everybody is to be utilized. You know what I mean? Even Sun Tzu. They even, don't you know, over there, them Asians, they even used prostitutes. Prostitutes had a role to play in the war. Even a prostitute, and we don't even understand that. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yeah, they did. Because, I mean, a lot of those prostitutes that they used, they would actually pack razors and stuff up in their stuff. And when
I was getting ready to say
up,
that.
The reason
why I'm able to touch on these topics is because I just recently got released. I've been out almost 4 years. Next week will make 4 years for me. I was in prison for 18 years. I went in when I was 19 years old and got out when I was 37 years old. You know, and I went
in.
I wasn't one of the worst, you know, in that thinking, but yet still I was amongst, you know, that type of crowd. But I went in there, and I spent my first 5 years just wallowing around and, you know, going with the flow, going whichever way the wind blow. But then once I caught a prison case up, and then I realized that you can receive life in prison while you're in prison, I hit that law library, and I just got slapped with reality, and I've been on one ever since. So, you know, I get out after doing 18 years, and I get out with, you know, full of ambition and drive, and I get out, and the first thing I see is just, you know, I seen a sister with some, like, booty shorts on with her daughter, and I'm thinking, like, man, you know, I wasn't prepared for this right here. You know, we are majorly stagnated out here.
Majorly stagnated out here. Oh, yeah. Yeah, most definitely, man. There's no organizations
out here for us, whether it's a male or female. You know, I had to go to these, I don't know if you ever heard of one called Homeboy Network or something like that, Homeboy Industries. Basically, it's a Catholic dude who takes care of these Mexican gang members, you know. And I felt disrespected going in because we all know the first man in prison over here in America was a black man.
Right.
So here it is now in the year 2010, I parole, I can't get jobs anywhere. There's not one black foundation or organization that helps brothers and sisters get on their feet. You know, so I'm going to this program, I'm seeing how they're helping these Mexicans, and it's almost to the point where it turns you so-called racist. We all know black people can't be racist because we don't have the institution to even carry out anything other than saying, you know, fuck white people. That's all we can say, fuck white people.
I ain't fucking with you.
That's all we can say. We can't really enforce that because we don't have anything in place,
right.
You know, but it makes you understand what's going on, and what we're trying to do out here on my end, you know, with this RBG movement, Red, Black, and Green, we're trying to get the people who was once part of the problem, because each gang member, as much as we don't like the activities of gang members, there's nothing inherently wrong with gangs. It's only the protocols of the gangs, because we need gangs right now. You know what I mean? We definitely need gangs, because the gangs are the vanguard of the community. They're the ones who won't sit behind on the keyboard on Facebook and talk all this big shit. They'll get out in the streets and get physical. You know what I mean? So we need that aspect. And we have to find a way to communicate with them young brothers and sisters that's gangbanging. Because, you know, they're not lost. You know, I spent 18 years around them. Believe me, some of the best and brightest is stuck in prison. They are not lost people. It's just their protocols and what they believe in is wrong. Once you tweak that and you twist it, man, they push hard. They push hard like Huey Newton.
Well, you know what? I definitely can say, my mom used to tell me, like, when back in the days when people had those gangs and stuff, is that when it came time, like you said, physical fighting, nobody was using guns. My mom said everybody's beating their ass with their fists.
Yes.
So that tells you a lot now, because you know now brothers want to use guns because they think guns is the easiest way. But they don't realize once you kill someone, you're going to jail. Your ass is going to jail. Your fingerprints is on the gun. Everybody know you got a gun. Your ass is going to be in jail. You don't know how badly. That's why guns always stay in the street. Because white men want you to kill your own race. They want us to kill our own race. And the black young men don't realize is that they're continuing the cycle that the white people want us to do.
Right, right.
But one thing about that, you know, one thing about that when they talk about killings of black on black crime,
mm-hmm.
I don't really necessarily buy into what they say, because I think they promote that more. They promote it more than what it actually really is, because
mm-hmm.
you know that's crime on every from every race. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they do more shit than anybody. But the thing
that's
about
true.
It is, they'll put our stuff on television to make it seem like we're doing something really bad, but it's not really that bad. Because I'm telling you right now, if you look at what's going on in America right now, that's crime of all kinds. The only thing they can point to about us basically right now probably Chicago. And at the same time by Chicago is, I don't have no evidence or anything like that, but I wouldn't be surprised to find out that they're behind doing some of that shit too. I mean, trust me. Because I just don't think that propaganda, man, that extra BS, that shit they say, man, is all a mind trick situation, man, to get motherfuckers
to
think that something is true.
Definitely, definitely, man. They, you know, the word propaganda, it has a negative connotation, but actually it's a decent word. It just means propagating your cause. But they do underhandedly and covertly, they do put numbers out there, and you know, 40 people got killed. You know, I don't know if you guys are familiar with it's called the FBI Uniform Crime Report. I read this when I was in prison, and basically what it is that it's an annual logistics of all the crimes that happen, and this is how you find out about which governors are soft on crime. You know, this is how they play both sides of the fence. But the Uniform Crime Report, what it is that it details specific crimes. Like, say if I go into a bar with another friend and I have a head up fight, you know, just a 2-on-2, a 1-on-1 fight with another man up in there, all the parties who accompany me inside the bar and whoever he was with, when the police get there, they list that as an incident between 6 or 8 or however many people was there combined. And this is how they fluctuate crime rates. This is what they do to us in the ghettos, you know. But we don't know these things because we ain't concerned about that stuff. You know, we still stuck on BET awards. Who gonna win the Coon Awards?
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what, man? That you know what you just said right there. There was a brother I was watching on YouTube that was saying the same thing. It was called almost like a guilt of association or something like that. He was saying, he broke it down like that one guy can have to be for the crime, but the people that with him also is part of the crime, so they get them all at once.
Yeah, definitely, brother. Believe me. It's no joke, brother. If me and you were in a car and we get into a fender bender with 4 other people, all total, that's 6 people. Now, I get out of the car, and the driver of the other car gets out, me and him fight, and it's over with. Me and him just fought, but if the police come and they get all of our names and write up their report, they're going to have it as a fight broke out between 6 people. This is how they fluctuate the crime. That's why you can't just listen to the news and the TV. Man, these people are so devilish in their activities, you wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
That is exactly why I was referring to them as the alleged dominant society, because everything they do is based upon allegedness, and they never, ever tell you what the true, source of anything is or anything. And if people know gangs and how they got started, particularly in California, I'm Chicago native myself, but the reason that the gangs were formulated in California in the first place is because the KKK kept coming in there and riding down on those black folks that had made it out of the South and were lynching them, killing them, raping them, murdering, doing all the stuff they was doing down South, but they continued it out in California. And so they form what they call gun clubs in order to repel the assault of these now pigs. You know what I'm saying? So when we sit up here and we hear about all gang violence, this all gang stuff that, and all gang members get this, gang members that, well, that's, my question is always the same daily. What the fuck about the KKK and the skinheads and them motherfuckers? How come you don't report on them? Because
how come they don't go to jail?
Well, I'm going to tell you why you don't do it, because that's Cousin Earl, Cousin Bobby, Cousin Sally, and Cousin everybody else who you want to call cousin. You're not going to report on your own peeps, but it's beneficial to you,
right,
to continue to report this fuckery on our peeps and stuff. And I still say again, as soon as we integrated, as soon as we moved together and we spent all this time trying to be close, trying to be like these people, from, you know, everything from kissing dogs in the mouth to wearing blonde hair and doing everything that they do, the more fuckery that we continue to find ourselves part of, the more strength these people get. It's almost like an energy bar on a game or something. And the more they can get, you know, Obama continues to talk about, oh, I'm from Chicago, but you ain't doing nothing for my relatives and everybody else's relatives that's caught in this crossfire, but you're steadily signing gay legislation, just like you did today.
Right.
When are you going to actually act like you're from Chicago? I know your hands might be tied by most things, but, you know, there was an expectation, okay, but you did just like O.J. did before he got arrested. You rolled in on the coattails of whatever you thought the wind was blowing, and then you didn't come back to your people until it was too late. Sugar Ray asked me a question last night. Do you think we'll ever be like we were back in the 60s? Do you think we'll ever be close again? Well, I gave him a short answer, and that answer was maybe. But it would take something catastrophic in order to make it happen, because we ourselves have become too comfortable with the status quo, like my man said coming in, you know, too much, you know, silly rapper stuff, too much stanky leg, too much stanking bullshit going on for us to just kind of wrap it up, quantify it, look at it for what it is, and move past it. We need more brothers like yourself coming out, because remember, Elijah Muhammad worked with all the brothers that was coming out, and some of his best soldiers, including the ones that are currently under Farrakhan, came from those same situations, but they were the most disciplined because they had the most time on their hands to learn the real, just like you did. So I got
right.
major respect for coming out
right.
and sticking with the real, for real though.
Right. I want to ask y'all a question. I don't know what state all you guys are from, but did you hear anything over the weekend about a rally for Trayvon Martin out here in California?
No.
Okay, now let me tell y'all, and this is not third-hand information. This is on my Facebook page, videos and pictures. Are y'all aware that the media, they don't want us to know these things, but there was a rally that I went to, and I was on the front lines on there. Oscar Grant's family was there, Trayvon Martin's mother, his father, the family was there. Some little young sister actress was there. Nipsey Hussle, a rapper, was there. And even Kobe
right.
Bryant was there.
Right.
Kobe Bryant showed it, and we all talked about it. And there's videos on my page and everything about this. This is how you can't, you know, we got to learn to leave this media alone. They only show you what they want you to know. I barely knew about it the night before when the brother told me Kobe Bryant going to be there, and it was from a good source. Sure enough, I go down there, Kobe Bryant approached the stage, you know, and the brothers got at him about it, not on camera. He wouldn't allow it on camera, but brothers got at him about his influence, because, you know, it's the ones, the ex-gang members and the active gang members and the ones who are coming out of prison, we kind of operate on a different thing, because we know that in certain situations you have to get physical, and we feel that we in a time right now where we need to get physical, not just violent, you know, but just being showing more discipline. And Kobe Bryant, he has his platform. You know, this guy, he's a multimillionaire, he's an athlete. His name ring bells. So you just can't walk up in this rally and you Kobe Bryant. We don't see you as Kobe Bryant. We just see you as just another brother. And you know, and if it wasn't for security, different things like that, you know, he would feel uncomfortable. But the whole point was that we talk with the brother and let him know, man, it's a movement out here going on, and we need steam behind this movement to let these youngsters know. Because, man, they every video you see on YouTube, every footage you see on TV, something detrimental is happening to somebody black. They attacking the young and the old. They choked that big old brother out in New York. They killing
right.
these kids. It's crazy. You know what
and
I mean?
Beating women. Yep.
Yeah, beating a woman up. That's another rally they're gonna have for that sister out here. Now I almost don't. Me personally, I don't like the rallies, because you know you can get a disgruntled officer. Hey, what you doing? And I had a bad taste left in my mouth when I went to the first Martin Luther King Day parade out here in California. I've never went before, but I decided to go this year because, you know, I'm having that feeling. I was selling some black T-shirts. I went down there, and I felt like a gangster at a snitch party. Man, our people down there lost. We down there laughing and giggling, chuckling and jiving. You had Mexicans walking up and down the street selling ice cream and cotton candy, and black people buying it from them. To me, that's disrespect.
That's very disrespectful.
There's no job. We don't have any jobs. And my mind doesn't go to the poor Mexican guy that's pushing it. I understand he's trying to make a living. And nor am I upset about the ignorant blacks. I'm mad at these aldermen, these council people who knew that we're having Martin Luther King Day parade. So let me go over to this youth center. Let me let these brothers and sisters know, hey, look, get the ice cream carts, get the water trucks, get all that. They didn't give out no contracts to nobody black.
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
Oh, wow, you see?
Now, see, that's right there. Well, now, where was that at? I mean,
in L.A. Martin Luther King Day parade. Imagine me sitting after doing 18 years in prison. Imagine me doing 18 years in prison, sitting there, you know, trying to get that feeling and then seeing all this fuckery go on. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, man, and that's a problem right there, man, because, and you know, man, that's a real problem right there. I couldn't handle nothing like that.
But you see what I don't want to cut you off, Sugar, right? You see how the fact that they get to come over here to the borderline, and you see all these children, they sacrifice to bring all these children here. What the hell? They can't even feed. They can't even. Some of us are like in the poorest cities in the States, and you're going to talk about you want to go feed more people that don't even live here?
Well,
isn't that something?
What bothers me about that, though, is that they're so harsh on the people that came here. I mean, there's a reason why it's called Los Angeles, San Francisco, Santa Rosa, Santa Cruz. Those are all Hispanic names. And you have no problem with the European deal because they look like your ass. And every time you turn on television, we sound like we're in England or Australia some fucking place. So when they talk immigration and they talk this nonsense about the difference between, you know, various minorities, and when they come through here and there's no problem bringing all these people over here, well, they're running from England and they're running from Europe because they fucked up Africa and they pissed off the Muslims over there overseas, and they're running over here to crowd in over here, and they're the ones actually taking all the jobs. And the most dangerous thing happening to the black community right now is still this gay expansion bullshit with all this gentrification, because if you read upon gentrification based on the Wikipedia studies, and of course this is his book, so you got to kind of take it with a grain of salt, they're the ones that are responsible for our neighborhoods being taken over and changing what used to be African-American areas where Big Mom and Big Daddy lived at, and changing the face of it by moving us out and overtaxing us and doing this slick shits. And this is why these mayors get together. This is why these senators get together in these different places. And they have these conventions because that's what you call the fuckery playoffs, where they get a chance to go and meet together, decide what they're going to do to our cities, divide and conquer us, and we sit around, like my man said, just glad to go somewhere and shuck and jive. See, in order to treat this to what my man said was a perfect buzzword, I use it all the time, the fuckery, in order to curb that stuff, we have to start with our internal stuff, like we're doing right here, having discussion, and then, like the brother said, you know, foot soldiering out there to kind of, you know, get the point out there and continue to rally around that. But we have to be, our people have to learn how to be more receptive to real game and not just playing games. And we're so caught up in playing games, wanting to be part of this man's program, wanting to foster everything he's all about, figuring out ways that, like MJ, rest his soul, giving all his money to charities that didn't give a damn about him to be shit on later on. All this crazy shit that we've continued to do to kind of take away from ourselves, we have to learn now that if we don't figure out some kind of way, whatever it takes, I think it's going to take some catastrophic, for real dumb shit. I mean, we're getting close. The choke out yesterday and the officer standing around waving his hand at the camera and laughing about that shit, the Trayvon Martin stuff like this, the only way you're going to get these people's attention is four words, cla-clow, cla-clow. And it might
come. Well, you know. Like I said before, man, my son, this is real shit, man, and I ain't scared to say this. If my son, because my son's name is Trayvon Tay, and I'm quite sure they call Trayvon Martin, I'm quite sure they call him Trey also, because I call my son Trey. They're about the same age, so my son just graduated. But what I'm trying to say, if my son was to get killed on some BS, I won't be around for the news. I will be more news because there's going to be some other shit. I know I'd be dead, too. Because what I'm trying to say is it's going to take something like that to go on because it's too fucking easy for them. See, the thing is about it, man, well, a lot of dudes, they go out here, they kill this, but they don't get a counter. They don't have no worries. They got that white supremacy card. They good. But we got to go get our, we have to get our justice. So my justice is I'm coming back with some shit, and I'm going all out, and I don't give a damn. Because my point is, it has to be a statement made. It has to be something from that. It has to be a reaction. Because the thing about it, man, motherfuckers don't understand, man. You could be here in the news and boo-hoo and cry, man, hold hands and sing We Shall Overcome and all that shit forever. Man, that shit is not going to work. This country's built on violence, so let's continue with the violence. Because if you fucking kill my son, best believe me, I need to kill you. You know what I mean? I kill your son. I kill somebody that part of that shit. You have to be willing to die for this shit, man. Let motherfuckers know that you ain't fucking playing. That's real talk, man. Because if you gonna sit there and you're gonna let them do what they do, and you think everything okay, well then you're gonna be just fuck with every fucking time and kicked around.
You know that beast. He's making the men and the young boys and the males, period, he's making them effeminate. He's not even doing it in subtle ways no more. You know, it's in the food, it's in shower curtains. Have you even heard the theory about those cheap shower curtains, when that hot steam hits it, that's releasing some type of pheromones into when you breathe it in, and the males are being affected by that? Because, you know, we have to admit, it's some soft boys being groomed today.
Yep.
It's some soft boys being groomed, and I'm talking about from even some of these men that's like 20 and 30 years old. You can see it in them, like, man, what happened to you? You know what I mean? Because they're just like naturally effeminate, and it's from either the fast food, the video games, the growing up watching that Disney Channel. Because you know those colors and those voices, it does something to you. You know, we don't read certain things, so we hear things about, you know, sound and images. That's that Illuminati shit. Nah, the shit is real. The reason why it's so much evilness applies to that because they don't want you to deal with it. You know us is being taught from our grandmothers and grandfathers, straight Christians, and you know, if it ain't God, it ain't right, and all this old bullshit. When you put that bullshit to the side and you like read and you study, you find out it's always it's 100 million ways to engage war on people. And they got us right now with the music. They're hitting us with our own shit right now. The music, number one, that drum beat. You know what I mean? We all know we Africans, man. Much as we get on these networks and we talking about black is not a nationality and we Moors and we came from over here, none of that shit don't realize. We understand that we in last place right now. We all understand that. There's no debate about that. We in last fucking place. We understand that. But we have to start taking all these different medias and mediums seriously. This music, number one, because I mean, have you ever looked at some of these kids' eyes when they listen to that music? You ever see how they go into a zone? This shit is real. This shit is real. That music, it has a bad aura over everybody's ears who's hearing that shit. These kids, they zone out. They be itching and scratching. This is real. They it's like they putting curses on us. Through us.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids chase behind it because of that melody, man. That drum beat is serious, man. Y'all remember how rap used to be, how hip-hop used to be? The music was different. Even if you go back to the old R&B, you felt a different vibe. When you cut that shit on now, it's all like, it has like an evil beat and it's slow and, you know, you gotta, you know, your face scrunch up and, you know, it's scary, to tell you the truth. It's scary.
It is different.
I'm stuck between early 2000s. I won't leave. Because that's when the real cats was doing it. Between the 90s and the 2000s, I unplugged from everything else. This new stuff they got right now, man, with all this, you know, this bubble gum and sugar water and shit, man, I can't fuck with none of that shit, man. It don't do nothing.
Demonic.
For one thing, I got to be in the classroom with Rakim. I got to be in the classroom. KRS-One got the right name. KRS-One literally means knowledge rules supreme over nearly everyone.
Nearly everyone, like, right?
Like you said, nearly everyone. Yeah, I'm still with the teacher, so I'm permanently affixed inside the teacher's locker room. The closest one coming to any of that right now is your boy Nas, and everyone else seems to be on some kind of, bullshit.
Don't forget,
right.
Don't forget my boys, man. Don't forget DPG, Dead Prayers, man.
Dead Prayers always there. It's a few still around.
Let's take a break real quick because I got to go and pay a bill real quick. It's kind of hard to leave when we got all this realness going on. It's crazy. I'm going to go ahead and drop a little of that flavor on you because that's usually our theme song going on and coming off, but you guys know the one I'm going to drop on you. Just hang on for a second, and I'll be back in a moment.
We can grow. We can develop.
As we know that heaven is not a place, and happiness lives in the heart. Long as the world keeps turning, our duty is to keep on learning. You heard?
Keep on learning. It's soaking up, James. We gon' make mistakes. We gon' go through some pain. Keep on growing. Soaking up game. If something ain't working, don't be afraid to change.
Nobody know it all. As soon as you think you do, that's when you fall. We got to do more to survive. We must evolve. Things change just when you think you've seen it all. We trip, we stumble, but we get back in stride. Each day all the way, one step at a time. Don't want to let my ego and pride make me blind. The elders say when you stop growing, that's when you die. The one who gets the knowledge is the one who asks why. Through the course of life, you gon' taste some humble pie. But I love it. It makes me appreciate the things that I take for granted. Gaining insight and understanding, each one teach one. We got to pass it on. Keep doing the knowledge, building and adding on. With faith in the assumption that nobody knows everything, but everybody knows
keep
something.
Keep on learning. It's soaking up, game. We gon' make mistakes. We gon' go through some pain. Keep on growing. Keep on soaking up, game. If something ain't working, don't be afraid to change.
Yeah. The more you know, the more you know you don't know. And if you don't know, there's more you can know, then you won't grow. What you don't know can hurt you. Discipline is a virtue. Gotta ask the right questions or else you go in the cycles and ciphers and spirals. Information is viral, it's infectious, it's contagious. And how you going through stages like denial, you don't believe that. No, we didn't do that. Then reality set in, there's no disputing the facts. Yo, I'm sorry if I woke you up, but when I open up, it's like I'm smoking, but I'm high off the people. Watch me soak it up. Huey said the best education is observation and participation. Study how the people be relating. Different points of views turn bad news to good news. See, it's kinda like some shoes, cause it got to make you move. Treat it like organic food, make it something you can chew. Information you can use, make it something you can do.
Keep on learning. It's soaking up, game. We gon' make mistakes. We gon' go through some pain. Keep on growing. Keep on soaking up, game. If something ain't working, don't be afraid to change.
Hey man, it's okay to say you don't know. When you let go your ego, you're free from all illusion. Can't make moves in confusion. Don't look for conflict, man. Always look for the solution. My pop said humility is a sign of wisdom. But to really soak it in, now that's a different kind of listening. See, man sharpen man. And every day is another lesson. And it's not failure when you learn, man. It's a blessing. And as the Buddha says, nothing lasts forever. We gotta manage our expectations. The less we pray, the less we suffer. In this way, we awaken. Right understanding, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right focus. Keep soaking. Soak it up.
Keep on learning. Soaking up, game. We gon' make mistakes. We gon' go through some pain. Keep on growing. Keep on soaking
it to change.
The world is yours.
The world is yours.
The world is yours.
I sip the dumb peak, watching Gandhi till I'm charged and writing in my book of rhymes, all the words past the margin. The whole of mic I'm throbbing, mechanical movement, understandable smooth shit that murderers move with. The thief's theme, the play me at night, they won't act right. The fiend of hip hop has got me stuck like a crack pipe. The mind activation, react like I'm facing time like Pappy Mason. With pins I'm embracing, wipe the sweat off my dome, spit the phlegm on the street. Sway Tim's on my feet, make my cypher complete. Weather cruising in a six cab, I'm on tarot deep, I can't call it. The beats make me falling asleep, I keep falling, but never falling 6 feet deep. I'm out for presidents to represent me.
Say what?
I'm out for presidents to represent me.
Say what?
I'm out for dead presidents to represent me.
The world is this.
The world is yours. The world is yours. The world is yours. The world is yours. To my man Ill Will, God bless your life. To my peoples throughout Queens, God bless your life. I trick and box of crazy bitches, aiming guns and all my baby pictures. Beef with housing police, release scriptures that's maybe Hitler's. Yet I'm the mal, money getting sour, rolling foul. The versatile honey, sticking wild, golden child, dwelling in the rotten apple. You get tackled, a caught by the devil's lasso. Shit is a hassle. There's no days for broke days, we selling smoke pays where all the old folks pray. The Jesus soaking their sins in trays. A holy water, odds against Nas and slaughter. Finger the word best describing my life. To name my daughter my strength. My son the star will be my resurrection. Born in correction, all the wrong shit I did, he'll lead in right direction. How you living large or broke, a charge cards are mediocre. You're flipping coca, playing spit, stays and strip poker. From home, I need a new nigga for this black cloud to follow. Cause while it's over me, it's too dark to see tomorrow. Trying to maintain, I flip, drill the clip to the tip. Scissoring my beats, not eating, can make my heartbeat skip. And I'm amped up, they like a champ up. Even my brains in handcuffs, headed for Indiana. Stabbing women like the Phantom. The crew is lamping, Big Willie style. Check the chip to smell, plus I profile well. Stash through the flock, clothes burning dollars to light my soul. Walk the blocks with a box. Checking dames, plus the games people play. Bust the problems of the world today.
It's yours.
The world is yours. The world is yours.
Six four six five nine five three four zero two. you guys can remain control now, maintain control. You know what I'm saying? We back leveled off. The storm is gone. Let's get it in. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Hey, mind over matter. You still on?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I want you to explain, man. Tell us a little bit about that, what's that, August 22nd?
Definitely. What it is that a lot of people haven't really heard, but, you know, like I said, it's a movement. You know, RBG is on the move. RBG is reminiscent of what Marcus Garvey was pushing, that red, black, and green. We're not putting no gods up front. We're not putting no theory. We're not putting none of that. We're putting skin. Basically, it's race first, black people first. If you can identify with that, then you can understand our struggle. And what we're doing is we having a RBG family weekend in Fort Worth, Texas. This will be the third one, but this is going to be a big one now because we've been advertising on Facebook. This is not nothing for, like, the media or none of that. There will be no celebrities. This is Facebook brothers and sisters who are on the grind out of communities doing things. And all right. Are welcome. If you recognize that race, that we need to be race first, we need to be concerned about our own race first before anybody else, then you're more than welcome to come there. It's August 22nd through the 24th. On the first day, they're going to have a natural hair show for the sisters. Then they're going to have a Big Sid RBG, a local performer down there in Texas. He's going to have his release party. The next day is a barbecue, and I forget what's going on that Saturday. And then Sunday, there's going to be Temple, and I believe something for the kids. So basically, and this is on all black owned ranch. This is funded, and this is done by all black people. There will be no white vendors. There will be nobody but black people. Ain't gonna be no Mexicans, no whites, no none of that. It's all black people.
You know what's so funny about that, man, is that I was gonna be down in Dallas, Texas, at the same exact time over the Mesquite. So I will be there.
Man, yeah, come down. I'm gonna be having my T-shirt. I have a small T-shirt that I do online. Definitely, man, come down. We're gonna enjoy ourselves. This is gonna be a big thing because, like I say, a lot of people haven't even met. These are Facebook people who you know we inbox each other and pictures and you know we hit likes and all this and that. But now we can come together because we all have the same mind frame. We recognizing that race first. We're gonna put Marcus Garvey back on that throne because that's where we fell off.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll be there. That's gonna be hot, man.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm going to have you know what's so funny? I'm going to go down because I had already planned to be, you know, going down to my uncle and my cousin. They all down there, man. But when I come down there, I'm going to hip all of them to it. And they're going to be there. They're going to be there too, man, because that's pretty hot, man, because I was tripping out at the dates. I was like, damn, I'm going to be down there by that time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just think. Where else have you heard of where it's a large accumulation of and it's not just us. It's going to be 5%ers there. It's going to be Nation of Islam. Long as you recognize that we in last place and we need to be race first, man, more than welcome. We will all get along underneath that platform. We all will get along because there's no debating in that. Like I say, we're not putting no gods up front and no prop, none of that. If anything, we putting the kids up front because, you know, we in our 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, and this, like, the last hoorah. If we don't get it right now, we going to have these little black kids talking about they ain't from Africa, they ain't black, you know. It's multiculturalism and everybody's the same and, you know, God loves everybody. And we really going to be finished then. We really going to be finished now.
Family, let me tell you something. We got grown men in this group that we left because of the dumbed-down theory that we were part of, and Sugar Ray and myself, and you had cats in there talking about, I ain't from Africa, I'm from here, I'm black, I ain't African-American. I'm like, man, that's, and boy, you get grown folks saying that. So you are right on deck with this one. You are right on point with this one. You got grown folks saying that right now.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Thinking they're European, I guess. Oh, what it is. Come on, man.
Yeah, you know, that right there, man, I the disrespect, man, from I quit messing with them cats, man, but, you know, it's like, I mean, that was a white dude called me a racist, and everybody was cool with it, man. I'm like, how the fuck you call me a racist? But anyway, he called me a racist in the group, man, and it was like nobody nobody had my back in that group, man. And it got to the point that everybody else started going in on me, calling me Malcolm X and this and that. I'm just making mockery, man. But the point was, though, is that I was just kind of like just serving some conscience, man, trying to give some information out there because letting people know that it's bigger than hip-hop. It's big, you know, sports and all that shit, man. You talk about all that shit all day, man. Kathy winds up on that shit and buying time and sitting around, ain't doing shit, ain't saying nothing. Just getting dumped down and watching that.
Let me tell y'all about what happened out here in California. Now, you know, after that whole Donald Sterling fiasco, when that whole thing happened and he put Magic Johnson out there with what he said about Magic, right?
Right.
Right. Don't you know that there was a local black church out here called Church of Zion, and I seen it on TMZ as to where Donald Sterling was invited to this black church, and he went down there and spent 2 hours in service, then he left. Now, but you all know you can't really trust what you see on the internet, so I looked to see the video footage, and sure enough, it was there. But that don't mean anything. You know, they make all kind of fake documentaries and everything. So I called the church. And sure enough, it was real. They had invited Donald Sterling down there to sit through the service. So I asked the brother on the phone. I said, "Brother, what was the purpose of that?" He said, "Well, you know, everyone's welcome. It's the house of the Lord." So, you know, so we go back and forth on that. And I'm telling him, that's a disrespect to us, period, and to your congregation. I'm surprised more people didn't walk out of there. Because on record, only one black man stood up with his family and said, "I'm up out of here. I ain't going for this," and walked up out of there. All the rest of them, they stayed there and enjoyed the service and probably wanted some autographs from the man and everything. We had planned to go down there to talk to whoever was the pastor of that day because it's like, you know, man, come on. This ain't the plantation. Why did y'all invite this man down there for what? The man disrespected us on TV, further thrashed Magic Johnson and put him out on blast. But then you get these, you know, these holy people and they – I don't know. I guess they're still trying to savage that whole we you know, we're all one race. It's only the human race, and you know, can't we all get along? But you notice it's only us always pumping that. We the only ones pumped that.
Right. Only one.
Oh, just checking my brother. 914-310. Who we got on deck?
Hello.
Hey guys.
Well,
hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. You got a little radio down.
Yeah. You know what? Do you see the number that says 914-363?
Right.
Yeah, can you answer that one? Because my cell phone one is off. It's low battery.
Okay. So which one do you want to use, 310 or 363?
914-363.
All right, then I'm going to use 363. Okay. I got you.
You know about that? Hey, back to that Donald Sterling thing, though, man. I was listening to I was listening to Hey, yeah, you here?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay.
Yeah, on Donald Sterling thing, I was listening to Professor Griffin Zaza Ali, and I listened to him, and he was talking about that. And you know, he was talking about these churches, man. He was talking about like you said, we the only ones pumping it. But yeah, you're right about that, man. The thing about it that was so crazy about it is that he probably gave them some money or whatever, or probably did this and did it. And then on top of that, you get them on a microphone, man, and they get to talking about. That's when you see they'll start to hear all that coon shit come out, man. They talk about all this.
Right.
Well, they're stupid stuff, and. The thing about these churches, man, a lot of them, especially with that prosperity shit, them motherfuckers are killing us just as much, man. They blood sucking the hell out of us, man.
They are.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, because what I learned,
they're
man,
the first ones that want to talk about you're going to go to hell.
Yeah.
When they're the ones who don't want to open up the door when they're not polite enough to let someone cross the street.
Well, they got their whole type of thing. Their whole entire agenda is messed up, man, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what the hell they're doing. So now they get to the point to where this prosperity and all that type of stuff going on in these big-ass churches, man. These churches, man, they make crazy money, man. I mean, crazy money. I mean, donations and fees and stuff and tithes and stuff. man, they make so much money. And the thing about it is, what I learned, what they were saying, man, is that they have this tax on their taxes, the 501, I think C or something like that, for their tax thing, for their code. That means it's government funded. Those churches are government funded. So that means that their money, man, you know, because somebody got to pay for it. Somebody got to take care of the lights and all that kind of stuff like that. It's a business. So the thing about it is, man, is that they got this business going on, and these pastors and all this stuff like that, reverends or whatever they are, they're making crazy money. Now, I went to a church right around the corner from here just to go there. And the thing about it, I go in the parking lot, and I'm seeing people coming in. It's a big-ass church. And I look over there, and people start clapping. I heard a helicopter. And I look over in the air. This motherfucker coming down on the church in a helicopter, and everybody clapping their hands and shit. And I'm looking, I'm like, what the fuck, man? And they clapping their hands like Jesus coming down or something like that. But yeah. No, it's this motherfucking pastor coming down, and they just going in the parking lot, crap. I mean, they're excited right there in the parking lot. So I get inside the church, man. I'm thinking like, God damn, it's crazy. I go in there, man, and then next thing you know, I'm sitting there. Next day, because this is Father's Day. I'm sitting there. They have a whole motorcycle gang come through there, ride through the aisles. Motorcycle gang ride through the aisles and shit, man. And the dude, the mic on, praise the Lord, screaming praise. And I'm sitting there, man. I'm sitting there looking at myself like, man, this is some bullshit. Because I was thinking to myself like, my boys see me, this motherfucker, they gonna think I'm crazy as fuck. And I felt that way. So I got out of there because I was thinking like, man, this ain't right. This is crazy. But this is a show. This is a show. Right. This is what they do, man.
Let me ask you something. Sugar Ray, did you, when they passed that bowl over, did you put money in there?
Hell no.
All right.
Hell no. They looked at me like I was crazy. But this is the thing, though. You understand? So, is that guy, that pastor, reverend, whoever he is, he can be used, if that's a government place, he could be used as a spy. He could use for any political reason. He could use for anything since it's government funded. Like when Bill Clinton, like he ran for president, he used all the black churches, man. That's how he became president, because he used all the black churches. They money, because they mostly are from government funded, and he used as a political tool to get them in the House. And that's what it's there for.
That and Arsenio Hall. No.
Yeah, you're right.
Amazing how much energy we will put out for everybody else that has nothing to do with us, and how quickly we'll run when we have an opportunity. And then the main ones of us that have money will point back at us and look back over their shoulder and say, we all right with y'all. They the problem over here. That's part of the whole problem. When you got to be careful what you integrate yourself into, what you make yourself a part of. And I say all the time on the show is that you are who you surround yourself with. And a lot of times, man, we surround ourselves with people that do weird shit. I'm still trying to adjust to the Dennis Rodman blonde hair effect on our people. I'm still trying to adjust to us kissing dogs in the mouth and running around with feet in our arms. I'm still trying to adjust to, you know, looking at all the, lack of a better way to put it, all the fuckery that goes on. And the bulk of our people sit here and act like everything is going to be okay. Look, I've never believed in your pop goes the weasel miracle stuff. I know for a fact that Jesus was not born in December. I know for a fact that, you know what I'm saying, historically speaking, everywhere but here in America, he's brown. And I, as a soldier, I traveled. So I had an opportunity to be over in the Philippines. So even over in Europe, I had to go over there for cold weather training. Even in Europe, Jesus is brown. So if you're going to lie about the basics, no matter what they are, especially on religion, there's three ways you conquer people. First, you lie about religion and take his God from them, whatever form that's coming in. I'm a Muslim, so you know how I roll. Been that way since 74. Then you divide his family. And then once you divide his family, you know what I'm saying, you figure out a system in which their children become captivated with you, thereby completing the circle. God, your family, your children, and that's how you divide and conquer. Then you go to the extended family that they have, which is their closest friends, their which they consider brothers, their associates, and people that are kind of on the outside of that circle, kind of in the Amway effect. And this is how things continue to get torn down and ran down. And when I see us validating, vouching, rubber stamping, you know what I'm saying, committing, you know, acts of just blatant fuckery, shit that we know we got no parts of, but yet we're so into doing that, it just kills me. To me, the most ludicrous thing that I see running around right now is us wearing blonde hair or us running around doing fuckery that we know inherently has nothing to do with us or us running around here accepting everything and questioning nothing. The more we do this shit, you know, there's a saying in the Quran that says there's a certain amount of people who are destined for the fire whose fuel is men and stone. In other words, there's a certain amount of us that you almost got to say, the hell with it, you know what I'm saying? They're not going to be on board with what's going on. And you have to run with the people who kind of not only understand where you're coming from, and there's an empathy, not a sympathy, but empathize with where you're coming from, and you surround yourself with those people so that you keep the cohesion. And cohesion is important. You see all the great sports teams do it. You see all the, you know, the things that are successful. There's a cohesion and there's a fitness there. That's why certain teams repeat and threepeat and do stuff, because they keep the basic element of who they are. When you step outside of the normal and the natural, of whatever that is, or whatever that circle is, that's when you begin to have the problems. And unfortunately, we get some of us to go outside the norm and the natural, and we stay out there, and then we look back at us like, for whatever reason, we're the problem and we're the ones problematic. And the more that we think that all of this chicanery or shafuckery is the way to go, and the longer we stay in that drone, the worse off we're going to become. So at some point, you have to get up, wake up. You hear that loud snap in the background? That should be you pulling your drawers out your ass and trying to figure out exactly what's going on and where you actually are supposed to fit and form yourself naturally. And that's what's wrong with our society, and that's what has happened to us. We delve into unnatural bullshit, and the more we delve into the unnatural, the more weakened we are with it. It's almost like Superman and Kryptonite, although, like my man said, he's a sucker in a blue and red suit, and I ain't never followed him. So you know what I'm saying? You understand where I'm going with it. There has to be a cohesion. There has to be consistency. Consistency, cohesion, and like I said before, staying within the natural. And unfortunately, we haven't figured that one out yet. And I just still think that it's going to take some major catastrophic thing. I mean, if Trayvon Martin and what happened to that brother getting choked out of New York aren't indicators of exactly how things are going and how they don't care about violating you, shit like pat you down and, you know, stop, search, pat, and all this other weird shit that goes down. If shit like that doesn't give you some kind of a bright bulb or red light moment, I don't know what will. I don't know it will, but you know, something's going to happen catastrophic. The difference between the 60s and this new millennia is like the thin line between love and hate, and it's a very thin line. But the difference between then and now is that we understood that we had to be close. We understood there was a basic understanding that solidarity meant something. But see, like my man said in his inception coming in here, when all the gangs and all the groups and everybody starts to get closer and reunite up underneath that flag, then we'll start to gain the understanding, because a lot of these gang members, a lot of these folks that's out of here, even our brothers and sisters that are incarcerated and getting circumcised illegally and all this other dumb shit that's going on inside some of these correctional facilities, right? They are actually more in touch with what's actually going on than those of us who have been out here, you know, for a long time. And it's a damn shame that we retrofitted ourselves from the people of knowledge and the true people and the first people on the earth to stanky leg and fuckery. And it's an unnatural thing, because, once again, we're stepping outside of whatever our natural boundaries are. So whatever those are, it's up to those of us who with formats like this and with things like my man's doing there, Sugar Ray trying to do his thing, the more some of us do this, the more hopefully some of us will join on to it. But see, when you get out of groups like we just got out of, where fuckery is at a premium, which here again, fuckery, if you haven't heard it yet, fuckery at a premium means when you got premium, You're at the best place where you can be at. You're top of the line. You're in the most, you know, you're at the pinnacle. You're at the pinnacle of wherever you're at. And when fuckery becomes your dichotomy or your makeup, and fuckery becomes the rule rather than the exception, then that's when you have problems. And if you live any parts of that over 50%, even if it's 1 degree, it tells it to 51.49, and you're that 51% of fuckery, that's exactly where you're going to be at. Unfortunately, we're on Teddy Pendergrass standard time. We got more like 70-30. 30% of us have figured it out. You got 10%ers that help us out. You got the 5%ers that are the realists, and 30% of us have figured out that we have to get back to where we were. Meanwhile, the other 70%, they need those glasses from DMC. They need some new prescriptions so they can see what's going on. So that's where we're at. That's where we're at. You know, but we'll get there.
Oh, yeah, we'll get there. Like you said, something drastic got to happen, you know? So people
I got
really
a question,
open up their eyes, you know?
I got a question. Check it out. It says, I was reading this on this email I got, man. It says, does overcommitment to church keep black women from finding good husbands?
Uh-oh.
They always say that they can find a husband in
No. Hear what I just said now. I said, does overcommitment to church keep black women from finding a good husband? Think about it. I mean, it kind of makes sense because, I mean, I just got through talking to a sister yesterday, man. And I can't break her, man.
You go to church 7 days a week.
Because she told me she don't want to deal with me because I don't go to church. She told me.
That's a shame. You know, that's a shame right
there.
You
got to make that commitment, Sugar Ray.
Yeah,
you got to make that commitment if you want to be with her.
It's a shame how that myth was put out there as a weird. The women say that they need a good, God-fearing man.
Yeah.
You know, in these days and times, any woman that, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to anybody's religion, but any woman who logically thinks that in these days and times, with all this going on, all these fuckeries that's going on, you need to be hugged up with a man that feels that. First of all, you need a man that don't fear nothing right now.
Right.
God shouldn't even be in the picture with these man-made problems right now, because you know actually we're dealing with regular men that you can either get active against him and get shit right, or you can just keep on, you know, following his footsteps and entertaining his fuckeries. You know, so when I hear women say that, a God-fearing man, it cringes because it's like you passing up some good, hardcore, masculine men that you need right now. You need a strong, masculine, angry man. You know what I mean? That's what's needed right now, not this old God-fearing and he's a thinker and all that. We not in those times. No. We in a war right now. These people done declare war on us through every social medium, and like the brother said, we creating dance after dance, new fashion. I mean, all this shit that don't mean nothing, and that all falls in line with being a slave to an artificial man in an artificial reality. All this shit is artificial. We done got hooked on these cell phones. Even myself, I'm not above this shit because I left prison. Where you have a goddamn phone book. Now I'm out here now. If I lose my phone, I only know one number. That's my number. I can't call myself if I borrow somebody's cell phone, so I can't even call nobody. But we done fell victim to being a slave to an artificial man in an artificial reality. And if people don't understand that, who's this artificial man? First of all, the artificial man is this troglodyte, you know, this caucasoid. Because if you study these people, not just listening to somebody say the big head scientists and all this and that, because there's theories out there that can have you on one, but if you really sit down and just take a long, hard, close look at these people, you know, you're dealing with a people, a race of people who, even something simple, they can look at a frog, and instead of studying that frog in its natural element and just observing, they would rather dissect him. They would rather kill the frog and dissect it to find out how the frog works. That don't make sense. You don't kill something to find out how it works. You just simply observe it in its natural element, and then you keep data on what it does, the eating habits, things like this. But you're dealing with the people whose psychosis is crazy. They'll rather dissect it, kill this thing, and then we'll rewind to find out how it came about and how it worked. So you can never forget who you're dealing with. These people, man, once they got us to believe into their reality,
we was through. We were. I feel like the hex is up off of me because I had a chance to sit my ass down for 18 years, and I left TV alone. I left music alone. I left everything alone that they put out there, and I chose what I wanted my mind to be focused on. I chose what I was going to put my eyes focus on, what I was going to allow into my ears, everything, even down to discipline myself from eating habits. Because, you know, one of the most powerful books that don't get talked about today is How to Eat to Live by Elijah Muhammad. That's a powerful book.
Yes, man.
Yeah, Flossie, we in these days.
Flossie just spoke on that the other day, man.
Man, we in the times where you're going to need to eat that one critical meal, and that's going to have you with enough strength and endurance to go throughout your day. We're not animals. You know, all the lessons that I learned, I was upset when I learned it because it's like these are the things we're supposed to learn when you're in school. I don't know what they're teaching these kids in school because I know I didn't learn shit when I was in there, so I can just imagine now. But we are not animals. We have the eating habits of an animal, 3 or 4 meals a day, and you don't stop eating until your stomach hurts.
Yeah.
That's sick in the mind. You're not
That's
an animal.
Sick.
A dog will eat till his belly hurts. We're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to have enough sustenance to get around, and then the main things on your go is food, water, clothing, and shelter. That's it.
Yeah, you're right about that, man. Yeah, that's real, man, because that's one thing about me, man. Like I got cut down on a lot of stuff, a lot of things. One big thing that I didn't really do a lot of it anyway, but I don't even drink, man. And it tripped me out when I went down to Louisiana, man. I was hanging out with my brother and them and shit, man. We was kicking and we was talking. And them cats, man, they do it big, man. They like to drink like a motherfucker, man. And I was telling them, you know, check this out, bro. I don't drink like that, man. But they thought I was being square and shit. But I wasn't really being that, man. I was down to hang and kick and do what they want to do. But But the thing about it, man, is like they didn't understand the no part about the drinking and the certain things I didn't eat, man. I didn't fuck with all the extra shit they was eating too. That's another thing too. But I was telling them, man, I tried to tell them, man, they asked me, are you Muslim? I said, no, I'm not Muslim, man, but you have to be conscious, man, of some of the stuff you do and what's going on, man. You can't just be assuming that everything's okay and just consuming and drinking, because, like, down in some parts of the black neighborhood, especially down in Louisiana, man, what they do, man, they give us the worst alcohol to get you the drunkest or the stuff that they're gut-riching type shit, man, that's no good. And cats get to drinking that, man. It's just poisoning you, man. And they eat wrong, and it's crazy, man. I mean, eating these big-ass burgers and shit, man, and drinking. I mean, trust me, man, that shit will fuck you up. And right now, man, a lot of shit I don't do, man, but people be asking me, like, damn, man, you don't even look your age. But the point is, man, is that I cut back on a lot of shit, man. I don't eat a lot of shit. I exercise and do stuff like that, man. But you have to cut back, man, because if you don't cut back, man, trust me, man, shit would catch you bad.
Right. That food, man, that fast food. One of the main things I tell people about, and it's a shame how when you tell certain people about this fast food, they think you're on some type of health conscious. I'm not on no health kick, although I don't eat pork and I don't eat red meat. I eat turkey and chicken and fish. And even on some of those things, you know, you have to read the labels. Like Subway sandwich, I thought I was doing good eating Subway sandwich, and I found out Subway sandwich is horrible. That turkey is not clean and all that, so I kind of like left that alone. But you tell our people about these eating habits and all, oh, that's that old fruits and berries and all that, and then you start to really grasp how ignorant, you know, we are with this slave food.
Yeah.
Fast food, number one, shouldn't be eaten because, number one, it's not even food anymore. They put so many different things up in there, chemicals. They put plastic in the burgers to stretch them out. I can't even imagine what a hamburger tastes like today. And you see the prices.
Yeah.
Remember when them hamburgers used to be like $4 and $5? Now you can get like a combo for like $2. I'll be scared to eat a $2 combo right now.
Yeah, and look what they're doing with these burgers. They put 3 patties on there with bacon and a goddamn some lettuce and tomatoes and throw a whole fish in that motherfucker. And next thing you know,
fish on top.
Cats are running to get that, man. You had that fish bacon hamburger? Fish bacon hamburger?
Yeah.
What the fuck, man? But cats eat that shit, man. They're dressing up on TV and advertising and have it looking so sexy and shit. These motherfuckers eat the hell out of that shit, man. But Man, please. Cats ain't conscious, man. Cats ain't conscious, bro. Cats need to really think about some shit, man. That's some real shit, man. You know, and it's a situation, man, that, you know, we in the situation because we're surrounded by this bullshit. But still at the same time, man, you can't fight everything, but at the same time, you can fight a lot of things, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And one of the things about it is do your best, man, be conscious and be aware, man, and just look out for each other. Like the man said in the song we played last time, if you don't know, you don't know, man. And if you don't know, you just learn, man. Talk about it and say, hey, okay. And keep it pushing, man.
Mm-hmm.
Just let your ego, let your ego alone,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But that's the thing, man. You know, and the same thing, see, now, like me, you know, like I'm up here in Washington State, you know, the marijuana and stuff, man. Thing about it is, though, it's like, I love marijuana. But the thing about it is, though, I'm real selective on it, man, because the thing about it is, I have a personal thing about it I dislike because a lot of brothers got locked up and all of a sudden now it's free. That's fucked up to me.
But, yeah, it is.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is, I blow because, for one, it does help me on some situations, man, because it calms me down, relaxes me. Because we do, I'm going to tell you this right now. It's natural herbs, man. We do need that because, for one, man, I feel like, man, with all the stress and all the stuff that goes on in the world, man, it's a lot of shit on our plate, man. And you need some shit to calm you down and make you sleep good, you know. But you have to be careful about that shit because sometimes there's a lot of shit that goes on with that. That's people lace that shit up with different things and all that.
Oh, GMOs. GMOs have their hand in marijuana dispensaries now because I live in California, and it's I don't know if you guys ever been out here to really see it. It's like a circus out here. California might be the only state where you can actually be on parole like I was, and your parole officer will tell you, you know, you ain't got to buy it on the corner. Just go down there and get you a card and go to the store and buy it. That way you ain't got to be hanging out in the streets. They actually tell you that. And you can go to Venice Beach. You can go to L.A. You can go pretty much anywhere, and you go see the doctor, and you tell him you got anything from cataracts to anxiety, or you're just not feeling good, or you need to build up your appetite. He will write you that piece of paper. You'll be out there in a half hour. You pay him $45. And when you go to the dispensary clinic the same day, they say, oh, you're a new patient. You get a free blunt for joining the club, and then you go ahead and purchase your weed, and you walk up out of there. And there's everything in there. There's brownies in there. There's medicinal popcorn. They got Rice Krispie treats, lollipops, Jolly Ranchers. Everything has THC in it. And it's just a big old thing out here. And it's in, as much as I like weed, I haven't smoked weed personally in 3 years because you know, obviously I've been out here trying to find gainful employment, and I don't want to be one of those brothers who end up at an interview with a good job, and then they ask me, can I test? And then marijuana be the reason why I can't. So I can't go out like that after being down that long. So I'll sacrifice not smoking
right.
To go on these, even though I've been going on these bunk and dead-end interviews like the last 3 years, but I'll go ahead and accept that. But that weed, man, it's destroying us because – all you see is these young brothers walking down the streets, rolling blunts on the bus, on the curb, and the owners of all these dispensaries out here are Russian, Armenian, whites, and it's a few Mexicans getting into it too. I don't know not one black marijuana dispensary out here, not one.
Now, you know, since you said that, it's funny you said that. You are right about that because, hey, Flossie, I tried to go that route. I even looked into it. I even studied it. I even got a certified situation to where I studied and went in there and tried to be a guy who could possibly get a dispensary. I was talking to this lady about being a bud tender at a dispensary spot. I was talking to her all about being a grower. The thing I'm trying to say is, man, I got no goddamn help, no information. And I tried to call and try to talk to them, but I kind of realized, man, they have select people that they already have in place to get what they got to get. While black person is trying to get a dispensary, they got white folks already grandfathered in some of these rules that are already made. See, the thing about it, man, there's no place. So I got to the point, man, I was thinking like, okay, I can get in somewhere. I got this, I got that. But you know what I kind of realized? It's not for us. It's not for us, man. We can try hard, man. We can get in. But the thing about it is they're trying hard to get you on a situation of felonies. They're trying to get you messed up in this. They're trying to get you this. They're trying to get you all kind of stuff so you won't be able to do that. And that's the crazy thing about it. And I'm starting to understand that I can't work with these motherfuckers because I know how this, man, I had some JLBs, and I've been working my ass off to get nothing. And at this particular moment right now, I got nothing. I've been working 4 years at a high school. I've been working 4 years. Check this out. I've been working 4 years at a high school. And the thing about it, I put my 4 years in because I want to be there with my son to make sure they don't fuck him over so he can graduate. He just did. But the funny thing about it is there's a whole bunch of high schools, and we have two security officers at every school. All those security guys are full-time, except when it comes to our school, the security guy that works there with me, he's full-time, I'm part-time. I've been talking for like 3 years about can I get opportunity. I apply for a basketball coach, I apply for soccer, I apply for football, I apply for everything you can think to be a coach of, didn't get no love. I stayed at that job. Now, this is me coming out Boeing. I got laid off Boeing and ended up getting this job. And I ended up doing this job, and I'm still stuck with it. I ended up working a whole goddamn month, man. My check come up to be like, what, $472 for a whole fucking month. From all the stuff they're taking out, child support, all that kind of shit. Now, this is, now get me wrong. Now, I'm making, my hourly wage ain't no, it's $22 an hour. It's my hourly wage. And the thing about it is, it was an easy job, and I maintain it, but I need those benefits. I need those benefits to take care of me. It's my regular checkups and stuff. But at the same time, my most biggest incentive to stay in there was to make sure my son graduated because I did not trust him. And by me being there, he graduated. If I wasn't there, he wouldn't have graduated. So the thing about it, man, I'm to the point, man, that right now, one thing I got in my favor was that there was a retirement going in for a teacher's account they have there that I can draw all that money out that I got over the 4 years. And I'm going to use that money, and I'm going to use that money for something for me, man. Like, I'm going to go into business for myself, man, because I'm just so fucking fed up, man, of trying to. I mean, don't get me wrong. If I have to get another job to hustle to get my situation going, I'll do it. But I'm just so tired, man, of being kicked around and being disrespected. And I see how them guys are, man, because they talk about, now this is mostly a white school. There's only a few black people there, but I see how they act, man, how they talk and what's going on, because I've been around them for 4 years. And this shit's real. But I just did it because I wanted to get my prior possession out of that. That's my son to see him graduate, and he graduated, and now I'm done with their ass. So now I'm going to go ahead and do me. And that's what it is, man. Trust me, bro. I struggle like a motherfucker, man. But I just did it, man.
Yeah, take care of that seed, man. Cause them young boys and them young sisters, man. They, I really feel for them kids today, man. Because I'm 41, so I still remember when, you know what I'm saying, getting beatings and your auntie beating on you or your grandmother. I still remember those days where you had to be in line and you had to show respect and just just a whole plethora of growing up. Things that the older folks did, you know what I mean? You address your uncle as auntie and uncle, you know, and these kids now, they losing all that now. They don't see adult actions from their elders, so they basically talk to them like they ain't nothing. You know, it's not acceptable.
Because they don't know back then how we got beat. They don't beat like that, no. They don't beat anymore because they know if their child can just say, oh, you know what? I could just know 911 because they're taught in school. If your parent hit, you know, if you get hurt at home, you could just dial 911. Even though you was messing with the stove and messing with fire, basically you can't discipline your child.
Nah, you can't. You can, and a lot of parents are scared. It's still a select few that don't care about that. They'll beat the shit up out of them, but. That's on the forefront of a lot of parents' minds is where, well, my hands is tied. But to me, that's really like giving up because, you know, you got to – the government ain't gonna raise your kids. You have to raise your kids.
Hey, that's fuckery right there. I'm going to tell you something.
I always tell them crackers that my parents cared enough to kick my ass to keep me where I am so I can be the way I am right now. I mean, these people, man, I mean, it's just like when the man was saying a little while ago about the weed and stuff like that. Scarface said it best, man. These folks are smart, man. They know that if you're going to, that this weed shit is millions of dollars involved in this. They quote the numbers, they spit the game. You see, they're just supposed to be starting to get into these weed businesses. They never knew whether they were going to have weed businesses or not. But yet every time the cracker, every time the camera opens up, you look at the media guy talking to the white dude, and he got a fucking damn near warehouse in his garage full of weed plants already. So they already had it planned out who they was going to let get in on this million-dollar enterprise. But what was going to be and all that. But my thing is this. If they did for real, every black person or every person, period, who you sent into jail over weed charges, if your state becomes legally viable for selling weed and having weed shops and shit, you need to let all them brothers out of jail who had weed charges. And if all they had was weed charges, and that's the reason why they got sent to jail, because it's hypocrisy for you to be selling weed and doing all this fuckery over weed. I mean, and now the media is giving us regular updates on the progress of the enterprise that they're all about. Now, if we'd have thought this over, we came up with weed as a deal, then we would have got shit on. But they already knew who they wanted to make the money. If it's going to be money made off of weed, then they got the special rule. If you went to jail and you get out of jail, you're not allowed to be a weed or a bud tender or anything else. And if you look at all the times that they go and talk to these people and these vendors and stuff, you never see us standing around. So they've already configured, they knew this was going to be a multimillion-dollar industry, and they're creating this multimillion-dollar industry about them, for them, and for their kids when they get there. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I said before, it's hypocrisy. It's blatant hypocrisy to set up and have us look crazy and do all this crazy fuckery. It's just all hypocrisy issue. You need to let us out of jail. You need to, do like you did Michael Milken with the junk bonds. We have knowledge of distribution. We have knowledge of selling weed and doing stuff, and you ought to make the market that's open for everybody to do it. But you guys are selfish on this, like you're selfish on everything else. You have absolutely no plans whatsoever for allowing us to be part of that process. Now, on the thing about the children and stuff, I don't give a damn. As long as I was a parent, and all my sons are grown now. As long as I was a parent, if I didn't stay on you all the time and I tried to talk to you like a responsible adult, even when you were a kid, and I tell you that you're not a dummy, so don't act like one, and that went a long way. Now, when you got silly with it, even if I did crack you one, even if I did let you have it, or however the situation went down, right, if you want to call the cops, you want to do that, you go ahead and do what you need to do, because whatever you got from me, it was far less than what I got. But that's the whole thing. Bernie Mac said it best, R.I.P. We done became some punk-ass parents. And we should have never been put in a position to be punked by the government or anybody else when it comes. Because my theory is this. If I'd rather get you and I'd rather go do that time than to have you get my child and choke him out like you did that brother a couple of days ago. So that's a chance I'd have to take. But I'm glad all my kids is grown. So, that's why I'm not paying this part. That's why I'm not paying this art tax they came up with. Everybody that got kids in school had to pay this art tax. And even the people that don't have a kid in school, they want them to pay it. I won't be paying that one. Send it to collections because you can't collect off me. Because I got the government disability, so you can't collect no money. So send it to collections with all the rest of the bills.
You know what I have to say is that even though at school they teach your children about 911, they don't teach your children that when your parent disciplines you and you dial 911 and they take you away to foster care, you're basically going to be treated worse than you did when you was at home.
Shit.
They don't tell them that.
I got a partner of mine, my man Wes, him and his beautiful wife. The both of them are beautiful people, man. The thing about him, he got two kids. the one graduated with my son. Well, he got more than two kids. He got like 9 kids, but he had 2 kids in the high school that I work with. But the rest of the kids, though, he homeschooled them. And the thing about it is, the West, the oldest one that graduated with my son and his other daughter, Leslie, the thing about them, they are very, very, very conscious. I mean, very conscious. They real positive, and I love them kids like they're my own, man. But the thing about them, man, also, man, we sit there, we build, we talk a lot, man, and he sat there, man, he homeschooled his kids. And it so happened, man, he told me, he said, man, I need some material to teach my kids. I said, what you need? He said, I need some books, man. I said, man, I work at the school, and the thing is, they got a library here. And they got a lot of African books, a lot of books about us that these motherfuckers don't even use. And if you need them, I get them. He said, how can you do that? I said, don't worry about it. Do you need them? Man, I went in there, and yes, I did. I went in there, and I got books like, I got crazy books for this dude, man. I got like 4 or 5 books a day. And I walked by the people, they say, oh, Mr. Robinson. And I used to put that shit on, like, hey, how you doing? You doing okay? Yeah, you look good. Nice dress, all that little bullshit they like to do. And I went in there and said, I'm going to grab these books. I'm going to go, like, I'm in. I got a project I'm doing at home. And I want to stay. He said, go ahead. You can take as many as you like. She shouldn't have said that shit. Because when she said that shit, there was not a time that I didn't take no books out of it. Right now, they probably don't have no more African books. Because it's a whole white. Because right now it's a whole white school, and they ain't gonna miss it, and they don't care because they don't want us there. So why would they want our books there?
You're right about that.
So I heisted them and I took it, and now I gave them to him because, like I said, I have some of these books at home for my daughter because my daughter has a stack over here for her. But the thing I'm trying to say is my son, he does some books too. But my point is though, man, him homeschooling, man. He was always telling me, man, that he had to worry about that BS of them instilling that BS into his kids because that's what they do, man. They'll mess your kids up, man, to the point where you'll find out you'll have a conflict of interest with your kids and they won't understand. And he told me that he had to set his one of his daughters, yeah, Leslie, he had to set her down to watch Hidden Colors with him one time. Because she was way out of reach. She's out of touch, didn't know anything. He said after she watched that, he said he saw some change in her. He said she had questions. Because then she started reading the books, started learning, started getting some ideas. And now he said, hey, I got her now because she's conscious. Now she knows what it is. Mm-hmm. So now it made a better relationship with him because he had a conflict with his daughter, because what it is with other parents, they have conflicts with their kids because their kids have this culture of going to school and doing things that they think that's cool, but the parents don't have it. They got a whole different way because they already been there. So the conflict of the kid not knowing this and that, you know, how they battle at each other all the time. But for black kids, man, we need to be conscious of what's really going on and talk about us and about our stories and about our history and everything like that. And once we do that, we'll be fine. We'll be good. And we won't have no conflict of interest because our problem is always one problem right now. Well, we got a few problems, but one of our biggest problems is economics, man. You break that shit down to where it makes sense, man, because right now, man, that's our problem right there. You know, and I ain't talking about, you know, economics to the point where, you know, being like Floyd Mayweather and shit out there in the club making it rain, all that old punk shit. I ain't talking about that shit. I'm talking about, you know, more of a situation of owning and employing our own, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, that Black Wall Street type shit, you know what I'm saying? Having our shit and putting my son to work at, like, West's. Like, West might have a business. I'll have my son work over there for him. You know what I'm saying? I can work for Wes. You know what I'm saying? Because I ain't got a problem working for another black man. I don't have no problem with that. But the point is, though, is that if he's conscious and we very conscious on the same level, I work my ass off for another black man. I'm down like that.
As it should be. Right.
Yeah, and that's how we do it, man. But we got to get that thing right, you know what I'm saying? And that's our problem right there. So That's part of my problem.
We don't really take seriously the black dollar. You know, I had a discussion with this person on Facebook one time, and they were like, "Well, $1 ain't gonna do nothing," and you're severely underestimating the power of $1. Don't you know if 10 people don't go to a local liquor store, that $10 is gonna have a big impact on that cashier later on that night when they add that money up. It has an impact, and then as the next night, that $10 more is missing. They start wondering what's going on. We underestimate it because we always so flippantly giving our money away to these other things that we don't necessarily need. And that's why it's hard for us to try to get us, you know, get other folks together on this whole black economics. We actually think it's a joke. $1 makes a big difference. I guarantee you, in any store, because times are hard right now, regardless if you know, people, they seem to get caught up in the hype of these athletes and these movies. You know, you got the movies, some of the actors making $40 million a movie. You get Floyd Mayweather, he's in the ring for like 45 or maybe under an hour, and he's getting $40 million. But all you have to simply do, if you mesmerized by $40 million, just go look at the Red Exchange. My queen is from London. She's from over there in London. She look at it every day, and the pound is stronger than a dollar. The dollar ain't shit. The dollar, you know, we all know currency is fake money anyway, but the dollar is so goddamn weak that it's laughable how we over here cheering for Mayweather and all these other, you know, fools and buffoons. They're giving away that money because that money is serving a purpose for right now. He's giving that money back, best believe, from all them damn foolish shit that he buying, you know. But the dollar, it doesn't hold the weight that it used to, and a lot of us running around here, we don't even know that. We running around here like the dollar supreme. The dollar is super weak. It's super weak, you know. And we have to understand that. Yeah, oh man, man. When I look at the rate exchange, I laugh because I never thought about that. I always thought that the dollar was supreme and it'll never fall. And when I look at the rate exchange, sometimes it scares you because you're like, man, we need to start stacking up on this gold and these guns and these bullets because it's gonna crash. It's gonna crash. We just one newsflash away from saying that money ain't worth nothing. And then what all the people gonna do? All these. The Gucci belts and all this shit. What you gonna do with all that? We don't even know survival skills.
I'm gonna tell you something, man, that a lot of people don't realize too, is the truth about that American dollar and the currency that we supposedly have in here. Oh, it's marked up in God We Trust, and then has United States stamped on the back of it. But it's not even our damn money.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? Every place you see a Washington Monument, and there, I think there's like six of them. Four of them I could probably name right off the top of my head. The obelisk, they're called obelisks. The Washington Monument is known as an obelisk, the tall structure with the pyramid on top, which, of course, we know the pyramid started in Egypt. Then you have that obelisk. Then you have the obelisk that's in Italy, where the Immobiliare is. Then you have the other one. I think it's four of them. Four of them. Then you have the final obelisk, which is over in England. The translation is that this whole, and I'm not talking Illuminati on no bullshit, you know, Hollywood, you know, rappers trying to dabble in some bullshit, unless you're a rapper that's making the real money. Our currency is not our own currency. We are still under English rule, because when they sent us over, not us, but when they sent the people that, just like Cuba, dumped their prisons and sent their prisoners to America, like, you know, like the movie Scarface with Pacino. And they dumped their prisons out, and they gutted their prisons and shit. Same thing happened over in England. They dumped out, and just like taking a box of cereal and dumping it out on the countertop, they sent all their dregs and all the fuckery and all the corruption shit, which is why Congress and all them corrupt. There's a reason why these politicians are always corrupt. They are the direct descendants of the ones that got sent out of the prisons and got gutted, because they were going to be the ones that, if they stayed in England, were going to be the revolutionaries. And this was prior to slavery, when they came over here and made sick and murdered all the Indians, because the Indians didn't know what sickness was until they got over here. But these places where you find those obelisks, all the knowledge of the world, mathematics, everything that was originally everything,
comes from the omelets that was in Egypt. You know, over here we call it grave robbing, but they go over to our fatherland, whiten up everything, make what's her name, Liz Taylor, Cleopatra, and whiten up everything, and it makes me sick to my stomach every time I see something like on one of the cable channels where they got a bunch of white folks dressed up trying to be Egyptian, knowing that that's fuckery and falsehood, and we already know what that is. But every place you see those omelets, the other three omelets, Egypt is the knowledge, England holds our currency, the Romans, who are, by the way, are the direct fathers and forefathers of the Germans and Hitler's people, right, which is why they were trying to take over the world and stuff. And that's why they, instead of worshiping Jesus, they came up with Catholicism, because they just couldn't see themselves bowing to a brother, which the Bible said, hair of sheep wool, feet of brass. They didn't want to bow to that. So they have that spot. And then, of course, here we go, let's flip back over to England and the United States. Our currency is not our money. Our currency is still actually stamped and made. Now, we have stamps that say Treasury in San Francisco, which is the, I believe, the L dollar. We have the Chicago Mint, which is the G. The G gets printed there. You have Philadelphia, which is the A stamp, New York, which is the B stamp, and Missouri and all these other places where they actually have treasuries that print the money, they print the money. But the money that we still get and the money that we have made in England, they still control our fund. When they sent those people over here, they still had the money. And remember, they needed to continue to deal with England to have the funding. Why do you think that the people that were supposedly rebellious against England, why do you think they still are up the royals' ass and talking about calling them royals and respecting them and doing all that? It's because all the money is really tied up over in England. We might print shit, but we don't own the actual cash that is the cash. And that's why the European money is worth more than our money. Because what they gave us was, just like they had their prisoners and stuff, like I said, they'd have kept them there. They'd have overthrown what is now the English rule and everything. But those folks got put over here, and they got the washed-down money. So the American dollar is washed down for a reason. And that's why we continue to depend on England. That's why we continue to have these popes and stuff. And the pope has no religious significance in the Bible whatsoever. Nowhere in the Bible, the Quran, or anywhere else is a pope mentioned anywhere. But man created a pope so that they could have something, because, you know, they have the book of Romans in the Bible. And, of course, they had to give themselves some kind of place within the Bible, because, in reality, one of the reasons why the Jews were probably murdered the way that they were was because they gave Christ up to the Romans, who, by the way, murdered Jesus and put him on the cross and made him carry his cross and do all that. So that's why they created their own book within their own Bible, and the person that actually wrote the Bible, the King James Version, was exactly that. See, royalty was not supposed to create or be any parts of any religion, because they wanted you to look upon them as the gods and who they were. But back to the original point, the money that we function with and we deal with right now, as we know it, is not even our own money, and that's why our dollar has no value, and why European money is worth more than our money, because they kept the original value of their shit. All the gold and all the everything that's stocked up, we get a stash of gold. We get tested, created with all the real gold, all the immobiliary that Ray Kwan was talking about when they were kind of wrapping into that thing, and the Wu-Tang kind of were the ones who kind of exposed the Illuminati stuff. All that immobiliary and all that money on the real tip, if you watch the original Godfather saga, it talks about all the billions and basically trillions of dollars that's stored over in Rome. And England, Rome, and the United States Treasury are the ones that control all the money, which is why you notice they are the three countries that control everything that goes on in the world, whether it's wars, whether it's how things are looked upon, whether it's even their religion that they look upon. But they had to rob us of all the original knowledge, because the only way they were going to be able to turn over the history and be able to turn over the saga of everything that was, they had to first go and rob all of our tombs over in Egypt to get those secrets. And they used those secrets to create everything that they have in the Western world, because that stuff did not exist because they got that stuff from us. That's why they keep us down and don't want us to be the original man. That's why they continue to lie about us not being about nothing, because they don't want us to really know that, that not only is the power and the God within ourselves, but they don't want you to know that their money really is not worth a damn. That's why it's not worth anything. That's why the European money has more value than our money, because we have stamps, but we don't even print our own money. All the ink, all the everything that makes a dollar, all the paper is purchased and sent over from Europe. They control our money. So we have currency, but it ain't worth shit because they gave us our currency and our money because we came from there. Let's just say the white folks that's here came from there. That's why we don't our dollar's not worth a fuck. And they know it's washed down. If you notice, the English pound never falls off. The English pound stays the same. Well, we're dealing with paper currency, which doesn't have any value of any kind. I think it's like for every dollar we have, theirs is worth like $1.75 or something like that, or wherever that is around there. It's because we don't originally have our own currency. We're still using European currency. That's why you have the, you know, you look on the back of the single dollar bill, you have the eyeball with the pyramid right there. That's why you look at the markings and stuff, and that's all the stuff that the Masons printed up and stuff like that. These people are all from England, man. And that's the reason why we don't really, this country stays in debt and everything, but nobody ever comes and tries to collect because they got these other countries that back them up. And then what do you do to control people? You use the religion portion of that to control people, but all of the money is stashed in those three areas, and the Pope and all those folks, which is why even Americans flock to them, and why we flock to England. That's the reason why they do that, because the money is over there, not over here.
Right.
Heavyweight, man.
Indeed.
Yeah, man. You know, hey, brother. Man, shit. This is a great show tonight. I ain't gonna lie. I'm learning a lot, man. I'm speechless, man. I mean, it's good, man. It's real good. It brings some stuff out of me, man.
Yeah, that's why.
Knowledge rules supreme.
Yeah, that's one of the things that when you get together, man. We, when we get together, we all could build like that. That's why, man, I'm looking forward. Mind over matter, I'm looking forward to meeting you, man. That's going to be good down there in Fort Worth, Texas, man.
Brother, I'm telling you, when black folks get together and the topic of the discussion is not based on fads, fashion, or music, or sports, or politics, when we just talk about us, and you'd be surprised at what some of us know. That's what it all boils down to. That's why it's good not to have just these old flippant conversations based on they shit. We need to start getting back in tune with. Like I say, man, I'm pushing race first. I'm pushing us, black people,
yeah,
first, man. I don't have the ambition or the drive for anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have it. And like I say, some of us who are lesser learned, they say, oh, well, brother, that's racist and all that. We ain't got to get into that because black people don't have no system or no institution set up where we can actually employ racism on anybody.
Really?
We don't have that. Only racism we do have, well, it's not even racism, but you know, we have the black self hatred. We got that part down pat. Because you see it all day on Facebook, man. You know, we had a campaign on Facebook. There's a page called Positive Blacks putting you on blast for sharing ratchet pics and videos. And it's a simple page, it's a simple group. It's just based on, you can come on in, you can get good information. If you want to see a funny video with black people on it, you can see that. There's no fighting, there's no, you know, none of that. None of those derogatory videos are on there. And the purpose of the page is to put blacks on blast. If you got a black Facebook friend who constantly put these negative, derogatory black images up, you submit his name in there, and then we inbox him. I mean, the whole group. We try to run them off Facebook. No, cause that's what we need. We got to get back in tune with turning up on our own. Who's doing wrong? Cause they holding us back. These coons, these Negro peens, they holding us back. Cause all the people that claim that we so called conscious, we preaching to the choir every day. You know, all the conscious people, we saying the same. We regurgitating the same information over and over. You know, the Vatican. You know, the first lady shit was named Jesus. You know, all this shit we didn't already hear. I heard that shit 18 years ago. I'm tired of hearing it. I'm tired of hearing about the Willie Lynch letter. I already know. I studied the Willie Lynch letter. I know for a fact the Willie Lynch letter was not written by no cracker. It was written by
black people. It was a piece. It was cleverly done and articulated. It was to get us riled up and to get us stopped being in our niggerly ways from back then. That's what it was designed for. And the reason why you can tell it's fake, if you look at the date on there when it said, I believe it said the 1600s, if you look at it and you cross-reference it with the dictionary of that time, the words and the jargon, they don't add up. So like I said, it was a clever piece. I applaud the brother or sister, whoever came up with it, but we got to get past all that, man, talking about Willie Lynch and all this and that. That's regurgitating the same information that ain't waking nobody up, you know. We going crazy over this Hidden Colors 3. Me, personally, I haven't seen 1 nor 2. And the reason why I haven't, because I've asked certain key people who I trust, and I say, you know, well, is it anything in there? They said, well, pretty much you probably learned all that while you was in prison. So that always stuck in the back of my mind. But I watched the reaction of people who have seen it. So it can't be that powerful, because the people that I'm seeing that's watching it, they ain't doing nothing. They ain't out here in the streets doing nothing. They ain't posting no... Man, you got black folks that sit up and talk about Hidden Colors all day, but scared to post a pic or a video of themselves giving out some real knowledge on Facebook.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I mean, we in day and age, I understand some people that's camera shy and this and that. You know, I was. I stepped out of prison. I didn't even tell y'all about this. I was supposed to have been a part of a new reality show called Life After Prison. When I left prison, I hooked up with some people on Craigslist, and they wanted to interview somebody who's done some time between like 5 and maybe 25 years who was willing to admit to their crimes. I contacted these people. We had a meeting at Starbucks. I blew them away with everything I told them about my book, and they actually turned from an interview to them just getting me ready for the part they wanted me. I got paid $500 a day for these little small news cameras to follow me around throughout my day, and I was pushing for us because these were new producers. These weren't people who've been in the business. This was a Filipino lady. Her husband was white, but the other Mexican dude, he was in tune with, you know, being multicultural and different things like that. So they was in tune with it, and they was letting me run the show. And I was putting us out on the map, you know, a positive image. A black man who entered prison at 19, who paroled at 37. Now I'm pushing strong, you know what I'm saying, pants pulled up, talking right, everything. I've been a dental lab tech. I had a plethora of jobs since I've been about a prison. But my reality show, it lost steam because she was pregnant, and once she dropped her baby, she went through postpartum depression. So now my little project is stuck on YouTube. I still get hits. I still show it around to people, but it's still pretty much just stuck there right now. And I'm trying every day. I talk with different producers because I'm really trying to get that out there, because it's this myth going around that when you leave prison, nobody going to hire you, and you got to do this and that. You ain't got to do none of that. I haven't done not one illegal act in my almost 4 years. I'll be out 4 years next week. I haven't done not one illegal act. I've been a dental lab technician. I've been a caregiver. I've been a whole bunch of things, construction. I lie on my application. That's what I do. I don't put down, yeah, I did time. I put down, I've never been. If they ask me you've been in prison, I turn my lick up. Prison? Hell nah. Because I can't afford to be putting down that I've been in prison and then don't even interview me because of that. So I lie on my application. I'll take any job. If I feel I can do it, I'll take it. I just got to get fired in the end. You just got to run the background check and find out I've been in prison for 18 years. And I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to go up in there, do that job, and get paid. Right, not giving out no jobs out here to us. It's scarce. The work is scarce. And it's really hard on brothers getting out who's in that positive mind frame, because you sit up in there and you get those free meals and you get the food and just, I mean, you're talking about fuckery out here. Imagine being up in there. It's some brothers up in there that's just straight lost. Prison is a zoo. They need to do a real special. All this stuff you see on MSNBC, you have to remember that camera crew going up in there, and they giving those guys extra sack lunches and different things like that. They're trying to civilize how it is up in there. Prison is a zoo up in there. The brothers is in there fighting to maintain their sanity. You can sit up and watch TV all day, and what's on the TV? Maury Povich, these talk shows, the judge shows. I mean, straight buffoonery. Brothers getting up out of there not even knowing. We don't even know basic. I got an argument one day with one of my homeboys in prison because he thought that Spain was down there near Mexico. I mean, we are super illiterate up in there.
Damn.
Yeah, we got to get on a ball up. We got to get up on a ball up in there. And I see the brother now, Dr. Umar. He changed his name, Johnson, to Infantune or something like that. But I see he's got something new going on with the prisoners. I hope it's a righteous effort, man, because brothers are coming up out of there, man, it's almost like a 50-50. If you see a brother who just got out and you ask him what's going on, and you can instantly tell who was in there playing checkers and basketball and just lifting weights, and who was in there really studying, turned that cell into a college. Because, you know, those brothers is needed out here, man. It's having a brother out of prison and he has no knowledge of self and no ambition, he don't want to do anything. It's sad to say, but it's like he might as well stay because he's in a way. He in a way out here.
Yeah, you know what, man? I got two friends of mine, man, a dude named Larry Dublin, man, who he did about 18 or 19 years in Angola, and I talk to him on a regular basis. And I got another named Victor Kelly, who's supposed to be getting out pretty soon. I don't know exactly where he is. I think he's somewhere in Mississippi or somewhere. I don't know where he is. But he's been gone a long time. But the thing about them brothers, man, they held themselves up, man. You know, they kind of you know, the conversations, man, you talk to them, man, it's like, because when they went in, man, we was like young, just you know, everything was just stupid, you know?
But
now, man, you talk to them, man, I know from talking to them, man, they got their mind right and they talk on some heavy conscious stuff. But, you know, it's like, damn, you know, just talking to them, you can just it trips me out, man. But it's like, I'm going to talk to them brothers when I get down there, man. I'm going to see, can I possibly bring them brothers, man? Do they want to come down, man, to the thing on August 22nd,
I encourage anybody that can make, even if you can't stay for the whole weekend, because it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, even if you just come through just one day just to be able to see the regular common folk, black folk, like I say, from every denomination, from every little belief, and we just down there functioning, and we trying to get it right. We just trying to get it right, man, by all means necessary, and we understanding that this agenda, this homosexual agenda, you know, that's at the forefront, too, because it's a lot of brothers, they don't like seeing their little sons, you know, running around here on this soft stuff and seeing the young females, you know, with all this masculinity, you know, they almost more masculine than the boys.
Yeah, yeah, real talk.
You know, it's a role reversal, an extreme role reversal was going on now, and especially with the men who can't find jobs, and then they got the sisters out here working. You know, that upsets the black family too, because you had some of these sisters, they had a man and he chose the street life and he went to prison, and he's in there. So now she's out here, she's having to be so called, you know, mommy and daddy for the kids, and then, you know, she may not be educated, so she's spewing different things in the child's ear, and then it gets twisted as to where, you know, I'm the mama and the daddy. You know, we had debates on Facebook about this all the time. A man cannot sit his daughter down and say, I'm your mommy and your daddy. You know, that's men don't really do that. I'm not trying to single sisters out, but sisters feel that because these men are absent in the child's lives that they had to step in and play daddy. You can never be daddy. You can never righteously be daddy. You can be supreme mommy, but you can never be daddy. You can't teach your son how to stand over the pisser and shake his dick when he's done pissing. You can't. You can try your hardest, but it'll never happen. And they have to realize everything that they're telling their young sons that opposes that masculine figure is messing these kids up. Believe me, I've seen it. When I first got out, I had before I cut my hair, I had hair down my back, and I finally realized I need to cut it because, number one, it attracted too much attention, and plus, anybody wearing no long-ass braids out here like that. And anything that was going to prevent me from getting a job, I had to do away with it.
Right.
And I had this one sister, she was braiding my hair, and one of her girlfriends was over there, and you can tell this little boy, he was about 4 years old, you can tell that his mama keeps him around all women because he started kind of like acting up. But I knew it wasn't acting up as to be bad. He was curious about me being another male species. So he kept, you know, sliding up underneath me and trying to grab my phone. And the mama, boy, quit, leave that man alone. And I looked at him and I said, you can't tell what's going on. You done kept him around women and girls for so long. He's feeling that energy. And she didn't even recognize that. So, you know, that's how deep this struggle out here is, man. We know better, do better.
Yeah, that's heavy, man. That's real heavy.
That's crazy.
Well, you know what? For you saying that, like the people that didn't get to grow up with their fathers and stuff like that, you know, that it'd be nice to have programs for boys to be mentored a little bit better.
Somebody, right. I heard that before, man. Somebody said something about a boys to men thing. Somebody's doing it right now. I forgot who it is. I don't know if I heard it from some Umar Johnson or Professor Griffin or somebody. I don't know who. Somebody was saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But if you find out, man, definitely. I'm on Facebook as Mind Over Matter. If you do find out, let me know. I'm willing to be a part of that because I'm out here. I don't have any kids, and I'm definitely looking to give back. I didn't so much grow up with a father, but I still understand that old mind frame of when men used to be men and masculine. That's never gonna leave me. So I'm definitely with that.
Yeah, man, that's real. That's why, man.
a lot of the young boys need that type of figure. Of course, mom. I mean, I always heard that growing up from everybody's mother saying, "I'm mother, I'm father." And just to hear you say, "Well, really, you're not. You can say you are, but you're not." You know. So it's gonna really
hit understand.
People and be like, "Wow."
Yeah, when the sister said it, I don't get mad because I understand it's just a lack of understanding. That's all. Just like when you get these men talking about, man, these sisters out here, bitches. Nah, you just don't understand who she been running across. That's the thing. So it's just having an overstanding of the situation because it's easy to place blame. But when you sit back, you have to just, number one rule, when you come into knowledge of self and consciousness, you have to remember the time when you knew not what you know now. And that just means now that you have this newfound information, you can't step on this pedestal and think you're above your people. You have to understand they haven't reached that status yet, so you must take your time and use every effort you can to try to reach them. That's all that is, because nobody else will do it.
You're right, and that's why I still talk to the one I was talking about, the chick Bernadette, who told me she was talking about church and stuff like that. She don't like me because I don't go to church. But that's why I still talk to her, man. I talk to her on a regular basis. But I know she calls me, too, because she knows that I know something and she's learning something. And I know she's learning something, but we may not date, but we're good friends and we keep conversating. I respect what she's doing, but I know what she's doing is not the right way. But eventually she'll get an understanding, you know? So, yeah, so.
Yeah, don't ever call avenues, man. I tell people on Facebook, too, when they say, man, I'm tired of talking to these dummies on Facebook, I'm going to delete them. Me, personally, the only way I delete somebody off my page if they being, like, overly belligerent or just straight dumb. But other than that, I don't delete people because I believe that they will still receive your post, they'll still peek at it here and there, and they'll slowly get the message. But I don't believe in cutting people off from that knowledge, man. If you really feel you out there and you put knowledge on your Facebook page, you should never really delete anybody. And like I say, unless they're being overly aggressive or just all straight outright fuckery, then you had to block them and delete them. But if it's just these little arguments with people not getting along, man, I encourage people to leave them on. And don't if you're pushing knowledge on Facebook, don't delete nobody. Don't delete them.
Mm-hmm.
That's defeating the purpose.
Hey, I'm with you on that one. I ran into some real birds, man. I had to let them go.
Yeah. Them weirdos and the people that's going way left. Yeah, you must delete and block them. But I'm talking about these simple arguments we be having. Don't delete the people like that because y'all still can learn from each other.
Finally, when you got cats putting questions out, with what brother is having sex with what brother. Tupac in a bathtub full of flowers and what he would look like in a dress, I got to leave your group.
Okay? Oh, yeah, we ain't trying to.
I had to go. Matter of fact, it was so cold that we had a group where it was supposed to have, one for women and dudes talking. That failed, so I got out of that. And then when they went with that format, they keep posting all that stuff. And even today, they still posting that kind of stuff. Then I got out of there at 2 o'clock in the morning. I was gone for 2 weeks before I was gone. It's like, hey, what happened to him? Man, I had to go. I got to go. There's some things I just want to hear to. And it's bad enough when, like the story I read earlier and stuff that's going on. Hey, man, the last thing I want to see with a soldier like Tupac is, you're talking about him and what he would look like in a dress or how he would accept and respond to that. It's time for me to go, partner.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, not to cut y'all off.
Not to cut y'all off, but I got to go. I got to go pick my queen up now from work.
All right, family. Hey, you know that you are more than welcome. We run shows 5 to 7 days a week, man, about multiple topics, relationships, the whole nine, and then real stuff like this. You have probably made this one of the best information sharing slash,
thank you.
You know, knowledgeable shows.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
And realness, I mean, man, this is a breath of fresh air, family. 646.
Thank you. Thank you.
542. I'm Flossy Jeezy Worldwide on the page, and Nelson King is the actual name. So anytime you want to dial in either of those two, I'm there, family. I'm there.
Okay,
and
you're definitely.
Over matter, and I'm writing that down.
I'll
right
Matt on Facebook. Definitely.
Yes, sir.
I'll definitely look at that.
I look forward to talking with y'all again on the next show.
Hey, man. Hey, God's blessing to you, and welcome back to what's supposed to be the real world, but we are still lost in space, but welcome back to the world and with the rest of us anyway, fam. We're glad to have you back.
Thank you, brother. Y'all have a good night, too.
Thank
you.
You
too, my family.
Peace.
And what a breath of fresh air, man. Sugar Ray, right on.
Wow.
Man.
You know, a lot of knowledge tonight. A lot of knowledge.
Made me dig through my archives of knowledge on them and stuff. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. You know, I was trying to wait for y'all and stuff. My ears and brain was burning up over here holding on to shit. I was like, damn. I'm so glad to talk to somebody real for a change, boy.
Wow. It's like, you know what? You just never know what someone went through and how the way they talk. You know?
That's why
it's a professional
ear,
you know?
Sugar Ray keeps bringing us the real. That's why I keep him around.
Sugar Ray, definitely.
Hey, that was a real brother. And to the folks that me and Sugar Ray was just talking about, I'm going to drop this little deal, then I'm going to come back, then we're going to do the quash like we do every night. But this is for those who are not doing it right. We'll be back in just a moment. Flossy Jeezy, Super Soul Hip Hop, and I should have put Real Talk Session, 646. 595-3402. Let me drop this on y'all, and I'll be right back.
Generation, fast-paced nation, world population confront their frustration. The principles of true hip-hop have been forsaken. It's all contractual and about money-making. Pretend to be cats, don't seem to know their limitation. Exact replication and false representation. You want to be a man, then stand your own. To MC requires skills, I demand some show. I let the frauds keep fronting and roam like a cellular phone far from home, giving crowds what they wanting. Official hip-hop consumption, the fifth thumping, keeping your party jumping with an original something. Yo, I dedicate this to the one dimension. Now no imagination, excuse for perpetration. My man came over and said, "Yo, we thought we heard you. Jokes on you, you heard a bite and that's true. What up?" The game is ill-natured, it's nothing sacred. And yo, it's funny what I see some rap niggas do to make it. A few will blow up or go as far as they can take it. My 9-to-5 is just to hit you, get the party live. I'm Black Thought, used to rap for sport. Now the rhymes staying rent, paying life support. I take it very seriously within this industry. It's various crews that try to touch me, but I come with the beautiful things, and I'm blessed to track crush me. Around the world, crowds love me from doing tours. Recipient of applause from all of you and yours. Creator of original sounds that's in the stores you take home to absorb and sweat it out your pores. Now who can stop the music running through these veins? Infinitely go against the grain. That's why my motto is true.
What they do.
shows and lights, airplanes and trains, short days and long nights, keyboards and mics, bass chords and drum kicks. In my mental deck, they hit my head like brick as I embark on a mission. Welcome into the dark. When I first sparked the arts, when the listening start, open your head wide and let the thought inside. My style fortified by all of Philadelphia. My delf more stealth than on the wicked wealth side. Mentality undetectable by the naked eye. Dick, I get paid when the record is played. To put it short, I want it made like Ed. Enough said. Then after that, I'm putting on my cousin Hamed. We let the ladies blend with the dark skin, devil bread, and discover my level is that of no other. And roots true, reign official and true while I'm continuing to.
Type of love that entice the stars, a tender mommy, but sometimes she like it rough. See, shorty, way of thinking is we might split up. So when she think it's getting cold and she spice it up, she give me fever, give her chill bumps when I caress her all night. She never lets up, love it when she gets up. Morning turn to night again, multiple pleasure. She love playing new games and love playing dress up. Role playing rendezvous in secluded spot. Sex in the city with views from the rooftop. Find a cool spot, stop, christen the new drop. Ice can't keep your temperature down, you too hot. We do the craziest things and lay in the rain. Sex drives out of control, she can't stay in the lane. She said it turn her on when I'm saying her name. So don't stop, mom, playing your game. Should I tell her? I like it, love. You know just what I want, you know just what to flaunt. You got the psychic love, type of love make a dog wanna wipe it up. Her poppy playing cool so she can spice it up. I like it, love, you know just what I want, you know just what to flaunt. You got the psychic love, type of love make a dog wanna wipe it up. Her poppy playing cool so she can spice it up. We having fun now, I'm feeling and digging her style. She creative, let her imaginations run wild. Put me on, make sure I come back for more. She like, damn, bro, I never done that before. She wearing outfits and lingerie and a pair sweeter. The stewardess suit, the NBA cheerleader. Personal secretary, night working tight skirts. The living maid, or my favorite, the night nurse. She take me out to public spots and get sushi. Sex in the restaurant, that sounds juicy. Sneak me in the cinema, she said she wanna do me. As they play the Saturday matinee movie. The broad playwright, quiet spot in the park. Broad day. Like sex is what she called play fight, and I'll be ready whenever she put it on me again. The object is you want me to win. Should I tell her I like it, love? You know just what I want, you know just what to flaunt. You got the psychic love, type of love make a dog wanna wipe it up. But poppy playing cool so she can spice it up. I like it, love, you know just what I want, you know just what to flaunt. You got the psychic love, type of love make a dog wanna wipe it up. But poppy playing cool so she can spice it up.
Yeah. Hey yo, Nick Wiz, just let it ride out. You know what I mean? Let it go from there, man. Oh, my mommy, sit back. Let your head down. Let's go. Yeah.
Yeah, my man, Rock Kemp took it to the bridge, you know what I'm saying? That's that mind sex, that psychic love right there, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the mind sex. So the sexy, the growing is sexy. You know what I'm saying? Flossy G, Super Soul and Hip Hop Monday, you know what I'm saying? Turned into a real show tonight. You know what I'm saying? There was real stuff going down. Real people do real things. 646-595-3402. I hope y'all enjoyed y'allself tonight. What y'all think about all that good stuff we did tonight?
Well, I can definitely say it's a different perspective on how the way someone else's life is. And it makes you, like, want to learn more. You know?
Well, as usual, you're right on point with that. Appreciate those words. You know what I'm saying? You kind of smooth when you get ready. I like that.
Yeah.
Sugar Ray.
Go ahead,
Sugar
Ray.
Yo, what's up?
What'd you think about all that good stuff we was doing tonight, man? Was that like, you know, using an inhaler to clear your nostrils, get your muscle tendons unwind and all that good stuff? You know what I'm saying? We don't need summer school. We got that. What's going down?
It felt good, man. It's like creating a pyramid. You know, you take one step up, and you always add an extra brick to get higher. And with my man Mind Over Matter coming in, man, that took us another step, and we continue to build. So it was beautiful, man. I mean, I learned something. We all learned something, and the people that listen, I hope they learn something too. But yeah, brother, it's always good. Listen to my sister over here. Listen to my man Flossie. We building, man. It's good, and that's what it's all about, man. And we need to get the numbers more bigger, and we get more people, and we have more of a united front, man, and start to build on some other things, man, and create these soldiers, man, get these street soldiers, man, and everything like that, man, build up a defense, man, because to win the championship, you got to have a hell of a defense.
Yeah, it is right there. Well, don't be surprised if I don't hit y'all up for one of them early morning shows tomorrow morning, you know what I'm saying? Let mama get the baby fed and everything, release herself. So that, well, I know you always
I can try.
Got, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, oh, yeah. I'm not trying to get the sunrise going, you know what I'm saying? You know, you're pretty and pink in the sunshine, but you know how it goes. You know, I'm not trying to get there too early, but you know how it goes. You know, we're going to try to do something, you know, maybe about 1 o'clock.
I'm just fine. It's just very cool tonight. It was like full of like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, hey, man,
I told myself stop interrupting the brother. Let him talk, damn it.
Yeah. My man is he's real, man. He's real. I really look forward to meeting dude, man. I swear, man. I think that was that was a good thing, man. I mean, he if you look on my page, man, he created a United States map. It's red, black, and green. And it had different pictures on there, man. He had a picture of me right there in the corner, man, representing Washington, man. I thought that was kind of cool. He tagged me with that, man. That was pretty dope, man. So.
Get that in for real.
RBG for real, man. So you know, I'm gonna go down there, man. Check them cats out, man.
Man, I may have to travel down south with you. I'm sure my wife wouldn't mind me going, being gone for about a week or so. She owes me a week's trip down there.
Yeah,
you know
what? That'd be beautiful, man. That'd be cool, that'd be lovely, man.
You know, of course, you know, sitting around, so I won't be chasing them fat asses down there. I just keep relaxing. You know, the South got the fat asses down there, you know. New York got some fat asses, too, though, but you know how I go. I can't say too much.
Yeah.
I don't want to get in trouble. But,
New York. Let me ask you a question, New York.
Are we
Facebook
friends, Melissa? Yeah, because we need your name and some stuff.
Facebook friends, Sugar Ray.
What is your last name? It's supposed to contact you.
Your first name,
oh,
Melissa.
Yeah,
your
I gotta
last
do that.
Name is. Oh, your first name, Melissa, and your last name. Your first name is not Melissa on your Facebook, though.
No. Because I know it's very hard to say, honestly, though.
it's J-O-T something like that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
See, I used to have little munchkin on there.
J-O-T. T A
N-N-A, right?
No, you're spelling it wrong. But
I don't know.
But the last name's Burton, though.
So, are you going to say something or are you going to just let me in the dark? I mean, like wow, man.
You know what? Maybe I should hold your hand in the dark, you know?
Okay.
But,
Hey, y'all better hurry this up so we get this slavery and drop this last song real quick. You know what I'm saying? We're running out of time. We got about 4 minutes. I got about 4 minute song. So, Sugar Ray, go ahead and deliver the eulogy, man. Go ahead and deliver this guy. You're going to have to call, have to call her, get her phone number, so we'll call her and stuff, man.
I got a number. I'll hit her up and I get that mic on her, man. But in the meantime, man, But in the meantime, man, hey, thanks for everybody for listening. And we'll do it again. Got like about a minute left. I want you guys to understand, man, revolution is not an event. It's a process. So stay active. Hotel.
It is. And we're going to do it like that. I want to thank y'all for coming out, folks. And the, like I said, the place to be to get your knowledge. You don't need summer school. Just call us, 646-595-3402. God bless you and good night. We're going to get right.
The real
up
knowledge.
Yeah. Good
night, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, good night, sweetie. But we're going to call it Rock Kim. Remember that. Oh,
remember that? Turn the beat up, I get lost in the mind, come across the rhyme, kick my feet up, then I find myself in time, I was on a train, destination Marley Marl's domain, I entertain, things will never be the same, DJs are conveyed up the label, okay, and Teddy Ted and Special K was the first ones to play it, on the radio, with the crazy flow, I pay dues until it pays me dough to do a show, when I'm at the helm, I cover the whole realm, in control and leave your soul overwhelmed, under the influence of and instruments, lyrics make it intricate and elements tense. When you was playing Pac-Man, it was the jams I packed. Peace was warm when I was performing black, I'm all that. Back before they turned hip-hop to rap, it was always a place to party at. Remember that?
Remember that?
I remember the spot that used to be hot, just like the rooftop. A place that only few can rock. On a wild ass block, yeah, you find me there a lot. Until you hear gunshots, that's when the fun stops. Here come the cops, time to go home, get in order, cause I'll be back in Manhattan if something's happening at the Latin Quarter. House the havoc when it came to 14 carat. And if you had a year, kids to try to grab it, it's cool at the Red Parrot, we was doing it there. I was the first one to rip it at the Union Square. A DJ Red Alert did work. A crazy concert, a lot of kids got hurt. I did encores at the encore. They wanted more, I picked a freestyle. So I heard the crowd roar like the Funhouse. Bronx Center, never ending black. Place to be was the Brooklyn Armory. Remember that?
Remember that? Remember that?
Remember that? Remember that? Remember that? The door, let the crowds in, over 20,000, wow, and music's loud, and microphones growling, tickets are sold out, parties is packed in, on tour, ripping basketball arenas back then, even after parties, posses of players and hotties, everybody with Gotti, spread bucks like shotties, spending cash, to make a good time last, thoughts that I had, give me a blast of the past, memories of unforgettable times on my mind, dollar signs, and melodies, and incredible rhymes, the people I met, and the sets that got wrecked. All the mics I check, most of all life's effects. And peace to all the people I grew up around. In the streets back when beats had a rougher sound. I used to be wild, me and my crew sit back and we smile. Keep files of pictures foul in case I go see now. Cause some things are just too good to be forgot. Like your neighborhood block or your favorite spot. Certain records always seem to make me reminisce. And when it hits,
and then it clicks. Remember this, my life flashed before me. I'm near from the sounds I hear. I pinpoint the year, it's perfectly clear. I like the way it went down and all of that. In fact, it mean a lot, cause you can't bring it back. Remember that.